It's time for your 2021 SummerSlam review.
What I need's a couple of good stiff drinks. How about you, Angel? You want a drink?
Hosted by a monster who's on his 10th screwdriver of the week.
The Solomonster.
You know, we got a hurricane barreling towards the East Coast. I don't know if you can hear that, but we have rain and wind and thunder outside right now. I'm hoping we can get through this stream before the power gets knocked out. There's a storm coming. There's a storm coming here on this stream as well. We were wondering, you know, and there were a lot of people who were asking the question, after CM Punk returned in Chicago last night on AEW Rampage, or I guess what would have been Friday night, because now it's Sunday morning, would WWE feel compelled to have an answer to CM Punk? Would WWE give us some kind of big surprise at SummerSlam to try to, you know, shift the narrative over to their product and get people talking about them again and get people excited about WWE? Well, we have our answer. It came in the final closing moments of tonight's show in the form of Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is back. Brock Lesnar looks like a Viking. We saw pictures of him not too long ago. Remember, he was cutting meat or beating meat or whatever the hell it was that he was doing. He had the ponytail. He looked like a totally different person. Brock Lesnar comes out looking like we've never seen him before. At the conclusion of the Universal Championship match on this show, he comes down to the ring to confront Roman Reigns, who, of course, is managed by Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman, the advocate for Brock Lesnar. And this sets up a very interesting situation now on the SmackDown side as far as Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. That is a story that I can get behind. That almost was enough to get me to give this show a thumbs up. Because I am excited now about the story that they could tell with Brock and Roman, even though it's been done a million times before. We've never seen it with Brock in the role as the babyface and Roman as the heel. And where does Paul Heyman's allegiance lie? So that is actually a story that I can tell you that I am excited about. And I am excited to see that play out on the SmackDown side. What I was not excited about was SummerSlam. I don't know if it was just me. Judging by the feedback I see online and in the poll here, apparently it wasn't just me. There were some good matches on the show tonight. You look up and down the card, and we're going to go through the whole thing here, and I'll try to get through it as quickly as I can because it's almost 12:30 in the morning. But as I'm watching this show, they kept talking about how we have 50,000 people here in the stadium. You have 50,000 people, or what they claimed was 50,000 people in the stadium. If it wasn't 50, it was pretty close. It didn't sound like 50,000 people. I've heard more noise from buildings that have 10,000 people in it than I did for a lot of the matches up and down this card, except for maybe the main event, a couple of other spots. This crowd sounded dead for a good part of the show. Now, maybe people who are in the stadium will chime in and say, no, no, it was really loud. Everybody was really vocal. Maybe it wasn't mic'd well. But on TV, it sounded very dead for most of the show. And I took that to mean that people were bored by a lot of the matches, which I wouldn't be surprised by because I was bored by a lot of what I saw on the show tonight. There just didn't seem to be a whole lot of life to it. There were a lot of short matches on the show, which is why I thought the show was going to end at around 11 o'clock. Boy, was I wrong. Given all the time they had, there were some matches on the card, I'm sure, that could have benefited from having a few more minutes. There were matches on this show that would have benefited from having less time than they were given. This was a very mixed bag of a show. I cannot sit here and tell you that this was the worst SummerSlam of all time. This is definitely not the best. But it's a mixed bag, you know, this really is the good, the bad, and the ugly. You had a little bit of everything on this show. I thought the main event with John Cena and Roman Reigns for the first half was a fucking bore. And then it picked up because they were playing into the near falls, right? Title number 17, every near fall. It's why I wanted them to work that story into the match. Every near fall meant something because every near fall, John Cena could have broken the record and become champion for the 17th time. So I liked that and it added drama to the match. And by the time the match was over, I actually felt that it was a very good match. And then they gave us the Brock Lesnar appearance at the end. That was a great way to end the night. Edge and Seth Rollins, same thing. Started very slow, but it built into an excellent match. In fact, that was the best match on the entire show. Edge and Seth Rollins stole the show at SummerSlam. But then I look at what they did with Goldberg and Bobby Lashley. A match that did not need to go longer than 3 minutes at the most. They gave us 7 minutes plus of Goldberg and Lashley with a ref stoppage. And the indication that this feud is going to continue. Silly me, I just assumed that it was going to be one and done. Let's get Goldberg in for a title match. He'll fulfill his obligation, his one match, and that'll be it for at least a few months. Maybe until next year. No. It appears that this feud will continue. We have not seen the last of Bobby Lashley and Bill Goldberg because Bobby Lashley attacked Sunberg on this show, which I was very happy to see. The one thing I could actually cheer for during that segment when he put Goldberg's son in the Hurt Lock. Permanent babyface for the rest of time is Bobby Lashley. I can never boo this man ever again. The match itself was fucking horrendous. Goldberg has no business being in the ring. We have seen Goldberg tonight on this show nearly kill Bobby Lashley on a throw. We saw him almost paralyze The Undertaker. And people are going to say, well, he was hurt in that match. He was hurt in that match. What's his excuse tonight? That was a storyline injury. What's his excuse tonight? Get him out of the ring. But no, they're going to continue this story. That's what it looks like. It looks like they're going to continue this story. He's going to avenge his son for what happened here tonight. We're going to see more of him. We're going to see more of Sunberg in the future. And then we see what happened with the SmackDown Women's Championship. Brock Lesnar is not the only one who made a grand return on the show tonight. Becky Lynch is back. The man. We knew she was coming back. We've seen her training. She's been at the Performance Center, so we knew. It was a matter of when. When is she going to make her big return? They saved it for tonight. And she got a great ovation when she came out. But it's the circumstances around her return that I have an issue with. Because Becky Lynch didn't just come back. Becky Lynch is the new SmackDown Women's Champion. Yeah, she was not even in the match, but Becky Lynch is the new SmackDown Women's Champion. And the reason is because Sasha Banks was not on the show tonight. They were promoting a WrestleMania main event rematch between Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. I enjoyed their match at WrestleMania. I loved it. That was one of the matches I was looking most forward to on the pay-per-view tonight, with Sasha and Bianca. And then rumors started bubbling up during the week that Bianca and Sasha, they might not be able to make it to SummerSlam. It's a very weird situation. They might not be cleared, or they might not, you know, unforeseen circumstances, which can mean anything. Then we found out, no, both good to go. And then the story turned to, well, Sasha may not be good to go. There could be something going on there. And you know how I knew that Sasha Banks was not going to be on the show tonight? It's not because WWE told me. It's not because of a story I saw on WWE.com. No. You know who it was? Hat tip. Raj Geary of Wrestling Inc. He's the one who had the exclusive earlier tonight that Sasha Banks would not be on the show tonight. Now, if WWE knew that Sasha Banks was not going to, or very likely was not going to be able to do the show, and they had to know, right? They had to have at least some advance notice that she is not going to be on the show here tonight. Okay? They knew. At least for today, if not more than just today, they knew she wasn't going to be on the show. And instead of being honest and being transparent and letting people know, they continue to false advertise the match with her and Bianca Belair. They gave no indication on SmackDown last night that the match might not happen or that the match wasn't going to happen, which would have been the time to let people know. And then you can promote some kind of, you know, either mystery opponent or, you know, tune into SummerSlam to, you know, see who Bianca Belair is going to have to defend her championship again. However they wanted to approach it, they treated it like it's business as usual. Sasha Banks was not on the show last night, but they were still promoting it. Even up until the pay-per-view on the kickoff show, they were promoting it. On the pay-per-view itself, they ran the whole video package. recapping the entire Sasha Banks Bianca Belair feud, and you would think, well, we're about to get a championship match. Nope. Didn't work out that way. They false advertised the match knowing it wasn't going to happen. WWE, certainly not the first time that they have taken to false advertising things. They have done this many times over the years. And you're going to have people who say, well, you know, card is subject to change. Every pay-per-view, every ticket says in fine print that the card is subject to change. If they knew she wasn't going to be there, then you announce that she isn't going to be there. This is a pay-per-view match. This is not some live event appearance in the middle of God knows anywhere USA. This is a major match at SummerSlam. It is a WrestleMania main event rematch, one of the top promoted matches on this show. If you know that this woman is not going to be on the card and is not going to be able to perform, you have an obligation to let the people know. You can still do everything that you did on the show tonight. You can still do an angle. You can have a big surprise return, Becky Lynch, or whoever you want it to be. But to continue to false advertise the match when you knew it wasn't going to happen, and you heard the reaction, obviously people in the building were very upset when they made the announcement. They chose not to do that. And I believe that you need to be very upfront with your audience. And my issue is this. Why the fuck do I have to rely on someone like Raj Geary or a Sean Ross Sapp? Much respect to both of those guys. They do great work. This is not a knock on them. I'm just using them because they break a lot of news, especially Sean breaks a lot of news. Why do I have to rely on internet wrestling reporters to deliver news to me about a match that isn't going to take place on this pay-per-view that I'm sitting here and I'm watching? If I had bought a ticket to go to that show, I would be pissed because that's one of the matches I would have wanted to see. Why is it that I have to go on Twitter and read Raj or Sean to get news about what's going on the card? Shouldn't the company be telling us this? Shouldn't they be keeping the viewer informed of what's going on if a major star is not going to be able to appear on the show? That's my issue with this. And people make excuses and they let WWE skate for it and they make excuses. Stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. There's no reason to treat your fans like that. They treat their fans like shit. And those same fans will make excuses for all of the stuff that they do. They're so brainwashed. It's absolutely just mind-boggling to me. That's my issue with it. They announced 51,326 inside Allegiant Stadium as the attendance. They are coming back to Allegiant Stadium next year on July 4th weekend for Money in the Bank. They put the press release out during the pay-per-view tonight. That is going to be the very first time that Money in the Bank is going to be a stadium show. So that briefcase is going to be hanging. I guess they'll have some kind of rig above the ring. Otherwise, that's going to be an awfully long cable that briefcase is going to be hanging from. No big fancy set. I think what happened is they ended up putting more tickets on sale and selling more tickets for this show than they originally expected to. So I think that's why they didn't have some big fancy set. I actually liked it. They had like the curved aisleway like they did for the baseball stadium shows when they did the Royal Rumble or WrestleMania 19 at Safeco Field. There's another baseball stadium. Something about baseball stadiums, I guess. Although Allegiant Stadium is a football stadium. It is not a baseball stadium. But yes, Money in the Bank, July 4th weekend next year, coming back to Vegas. As I predicted they might do, they added a kickoff match. That match, Baron Corbin, who stole the Money in the Bank briefcase from Big E, who we did not see for the rest of the night. So there was no Money in the Bank cash-in. There was no Money in the Bank cash-in tease. They didn't even mention the possibility of it. Big E was on the pre-show. He was never seen again. Big E one-on-one against Baron Corbin. I did like Corbin when he came out. He was clutching the briefcase against his chest. Just wouldn't let that thing go for anything. Big E was in control until he missed a running splash on the apron. Corbin hit the deep six for a near fall. Big E got a stretch muffler. Corbin made it to the ropes. So Corbin grabs the briefcase. He's gonna hightail it, right? He's ready to get the hell out of here. So he grabs the briefcase. He tries to make a run for it. As he is circling the ring, Big E checks him into the barricade. And he puts him back in the ring. Big E then spears Corbin through the ropes down to the floor, and then back inside, hits the big ending for the win. And he takes back possession of his Money in the Bank briefcase, never to be seen again. Hit the showers. An early night for Big E. We'll have to wait until some other time, I guess, for him to cash in Money in the Bank. I guess he's got a year, right? So there's no rush. Big E has plenty of time to cash in. I was kind of hoping he would do it on the WWE Championship tonight, but we got to continue that program with Goldberg. Even if Big E were to cash in on Goldberg, that doesn't make it any better. Just the mere possibility that they're teasing that this feud is going to continue is insane. Pay-per-view opened with RK-Bro, Randy Orton, and Matt Riddle against AJ Styles and Omos for the Raw Tag Team titles. Really the only Raw match on this show worth a damn. Champions worked over Riddle for the first few minutes. He got the hot tag to Orton. He cleaned house. Orton hit the draping DDT to AJ. Drops down. He's ready to strike. He's poised to strike for the RKO. Omos pulls AJ out to safety. Riddle comes over. He ends up getting chokeslammed on the apron for his trouble. Riddle sends Omos after he recovers. He sends Omos into the ring post. And then AJ Styles hits a standing moonsault off the apron and immediately hits a scorpion death drop. He transitions fluidly, smoothly, into a scorpion death drop and takes Matt Riddle down on the floor. This man is 44 years old. He's doing a standing moonsault off the apron, transitioning into a scorpion death drop. Let us take a moment here at 12:39 a.m. Eastern Time to appreciate AJ Styles, at the age of 44, still busting out moves like that. So now AJ is looking for the phenomenal forearm. Orton dodges it. He hits the RKO, and he gets the three. A very basic match. This really was not anything special. This was a television match, but the fans enjoyed it because they wanted to see Orton and Riddle get the win. So did I. And I even I put this on Twitter. I said, it's amazing when you have a simple story and you give people the payoff to the story that they were looking for, they will reward you. And the fans in Allegiant Stadium were very happy and cheered for the title change. They are your new Raw Tag Team Champions. And now I'm hoping we will see the return of AJ Styles to singles competition because he is 44 years old and he's not getting any younger. And I think he's got another run in him going after one of the singles titles. Whether it be on Raw or on SmackDown, he's been a heel for a while. At some point, I think we will see the babyface turn. But the whole team with him and Omos, you know, that was a nice little angle for him to do, but now it's over. I'm sure there's going to be a rematch. They're not just going to split up just yet. But I think this is the point where you phase it down and you move AJ into singles competition. What you do with Omos, honestly, I really don't give a shit. I certainly don't want to see Omos in singles matches. Maybe he can become AJ's bodyguard instead of his tag team partner. I care less about what happens with him than I do what they, you know, what they use AJ Styles for. Because AJ Styles, even though he's older than Omos, he could still be a player on that roster. We had Alexa Bliss one-on-one with Eva Marie. Some very audible chants early on of "We want Wyatt" during this match when Alexa came out. Eva grabbed Lily the doll. I'm sure that they sold a whole bunch of dolls this weekend in Vegas. This doll's not going anywhere. So Eva grabs Lily and she starts smacking the doll around. And then she hits Alexa Bliss with the doll. Devastating, I know. She hits Alexa with the doll. Alexa screams, she tackles Eva to the mat. Dewdrop is outside in Eva's corner, and normally it's Eva in Dewdrop's corner, giving her this sarcastic advice from the outside. Dewdrop was doing the same thing here. She was telling Eva, you can do this, I believe in you, you can do it, and she's giving her the thumbs up and everything. Twisted Bliss misses off the top rope, and Eva gets back-to-back near falls. Both times Alexa kicks out. Alexa gets up, she hits her DDT, and she gets the pin. This went less than 4 minutes, And this was 3.5 minutes longer than it should have been. This was embarrassing. This was embarrassing. I mean, there's no other way around. And I know all the Alexa Bliss fans now are going to... This was embarrassing not just because of Alexa Bliss. It was embarrassing because of Eva Marie. It was embarrassing because of the fucking doll that was involved in this match. I'm not putting all of this on Alexa Bliss. The match itself was embarrassing. But they kept it short. That's the best thing I can say about this. They kept it short. 3.5 minutes. In and out. And when the match was over, Doudrop seemed pretty pleased about the whole thing, about the outcome. She grabbed the microphone and she gave Eva a little taste of her own medicine. She said, the loser of this match is Eva Marie. And she took Eva's purple robe and she put it on and she started to prance around and parade around in it. And she walked to the back wearing Eva's robe. And if you remember in my predictions when I did them on Thursday, I said that what I was hoping to get out of this match, what I was hoping to get out of this pay-per-view, was the split between Eva and Doudrop. They wanted to establish Piper Niven in this new gimmick on TV. They've done that. They've created a sympathetic character who can be, I think, a babyface that the people would get behind. I think they feel sorry for the way that Eva has been treating her. This is not a story that has to play out any longer. We get it. It's time to move on. It's time to move Piper Niven onto something else and move Eva Marie onto something else or somewhere else. So on Monday night on Raw, we will find out if this pairing is going to continue or if this is the beginning of the end for Eva and for Doudrop. Mario Lopez, AC Slater from Saved by the Bell. He was one of the celebrity guest correspondents in the back, looking exactly the same as he did 20 years ago. This man is almost 50 years old, and he looks like he came straight out of Bayside High, this fucking guy. He says he's been a longtime fan of WWE. He said going back to the WWF days. Aha! See, that's how you know he's a real fan. He still remembers the WWF days. Probably get a lot of newer fans now that go, what's that? What's WWF? That's the panda? That's the panda people? So, he was interviewing RK-Bro. Randy Orton said that it would be smooth sailing for he and Riddle from here on out, and then he walked off. And Riddle told Slater, we'll call him Slater, he told him that he would have a surprise for Orton on Raw this Monday. I'm wondering if maybe he's going to do This Is Your Life. We're going to have like a Rock Mankind thing here on Raw Monday night with Orton and Riddle. I guess it'll be, I'm assuming and I'm guessing that it will be some kind of championship celebration. There'll be scooters involved and all kinds of stuff, but I like the dynamic between them. You know, comedy in WWE is very hit or miss. Case in point, the bullshit that we saw tonight with Miz and Morrison, that was horrendous. That was absolutely awful. And they put it on so late in the show, as if the show needed that. It's segments like that that I loathe. I hate segments like that. They're not funny. I don't find them amusing. But when WWE does comedy the right way, it can be funny. It can be fun. Riddle and Orton, it just works. Because I think they're just such polar opposites that it works. They make it work. So that could be entertaining. We'll find out on Monday night. Sheamus defended his United States, or should I say the national championship. Oh, we go from AC Slater to Tiffany Haddish. I'd be lying if I told you I knew what show she was on. I've heard of her before. I don't know what she does. I don't know why she's famous or what show she's on. I don't care. I really don't care. But they had her as a celebrity later on in the show, and she introduced the United States champion as the national champion. What does she think this is? Fucking football or something? The national champion? You had one job. They literally gave this woman one line on this show, and she fucked it up. Anyway, the national title was on the line here between Sheamus and Damian Priest. Priest, early in the match, hit a step-up dive out onto the floor. We've seen him do that in his matches before. He had a really hard landing. He landed very awkwardly on his lower back, part of his hip, and that's not good because part of the reason he was, if not the reason, that he was off TV for a while there was because he had a bad back. So as soon as he landed that way and I saw the look on his face, I said, well, yeah, he might be selling, but that looks like real pain. I'm sure that did not feel good. Hopefully he'll wake up in the morning and feel okay. But when you have a bad back and you're out of action for a while and then you land the way he did there, that's not good. But it played into the match. Sheamus picked him up back first and threw him into the ring post and he took over from there. Priest eventually saw an opening and caught a tornado DDT. It wasn't much of a tornado he tried. It was just a DDT. Spinning heel kick off the top, got a near fall on Sheamus. Sheamus then hung him up neck first over the top rope, and he headed up top. Top rope clothesline by the champion, followed by an Alabama slam, and Damian Priest kicks out at 2.5. So the bro kick attempt is thwarted by Damian Priest with a kick of his own. He hits a sit-out choke slam for a near fall, very close near fall on Sheamus. Sheamus, who is wearing that black face mask, headbutts Damian Priest at one point. It looked brutal. And by the end of the match, Priest had this giant knot right on his head. Had to be from that headbutt. So he got him good. Because by the end of the match, he had this golf ball size lump right on his head when the match was over. Priest went for a springboard move off the rope. Sheamus caught him with a bicycle knee coming off. I guess the brogue knee, we can call it. And somehow Priest got a shoulder up at the last second. Sheamus locks on a heel hook, and out of desperation, Damian Priest reaches up, he grabs the mask, and he rips it off of Sheamus' face. And Sheamus, I guess what they were going for, the announcers didn't really pick up on it, unless I'm just completely misreading it, is the fact that his face was fine. He's healed, he's fine, but he pulled the mask off. He's been unmasked. And Priest hit the reckoning to capture the United States Championship. Damian Priest is the new champion. Very good match. Easily up to this point, I mean, it's not saying much, but up to this point, the best match on the card. And another step in the elevation of Damian Priest. Damian Priest is going to be either WWE champion one day soon or Universal champion one day. I have every expectation that he will get there. His size plays a very big role in that, but he's got a lot going for him. I mean, the size is the biggest factor. We know that, right? We know WWE now is really focused on size. We see that with some of the new recruits in developmental. They've reached their quota, I guess, of 5'9" guys, and they want to get big guys. Well, Damian Priest is a big guy. He's a tall guy, but he's also bilingual, which I know is very important to them in this company. He can talk. He's got a great voice. So he checks all the boxes. You know, he's got charisma. Whatever it is that they're looking for in a star, this guy would seem to have it. So this is only the first step. This is like, you know, Steve Austin or someone. I'm just using him as an example. I'm not saying he's going to be Steve Austin. But, you know, Austin won the Intercontinental title before he went on to bigger things. So did Shawn Michaels. So did Bret Hart. So did a lot of guys. Diesel. Another long, lanky guy, before they eventually ascended to the top title. That is going to be Damian Priest. So he's going to be fine. But I also want to just mention Sheamus here, because I still don't think he gets enough credit. I really don't. I came to really appreciate his work over the past year, the whole pandemic period, right on into this year. More often than not, when he's in the ring, he goes out there and he has consistently good to great matches, whether it's with a Keith Lee, whether it's with a Damian Priest, whether it was with Drew McIntyre, all the matches that he had with Big E on SmackDown late last year, even the matches that he had with people like Ricochet and some of the other, you know, guys that aren't necessarily high up on the card. He consistently delivers very good matches. You know, the WrestleMania match that he had with Riddle, which I thought was very good. But I still don't really see there being a lot of love for Sheamus. So I wanted to show some love and appreciation for the man here on this stream tonight. Appropriately, we went from an ad for a beer company to the Usos defending the SmackDown Tag Team titles against the Mysterios, Rey and Dominic. Mysterios took out the Usos with dives early on. Dominic followed with the Three Amigos, which drew a chant of Eddie Guerrero. Jay made a blind tag. He shoved Dominic off the turnbuckles, though. He went flying face first into the barricade on the floor. He fought back. He made the tag to his father. And Ray tried for a springboard move. Jay super kicked him. Hit an Uso splash for a near fall. Dominic went after Jay, but this was the last we saw of Dominic. He got slammed very awkwardly on the ring apron, and he got wiped out. That was the end of Dominic. Jimmy missed the splash. Ray followed with a 619. He went for a frog splash, but Jimmy got the knees up, hit a super kick. And then Jay tagged in. They each hit super kicks at the same time. They sandwiched Rey Mysterio with super kicks on each side of his head. And then Jay hit a splash to Rey's back, rolled him over, and got the pin. The Usos retain the SmackDown Tag Team titles. No surprise there. I didn't expect them to lose them. They got the whole bloodline thing going. I didn't think Roman was losing. And if Roman's not losing, then the Usos are not losing. They're pretty much tied together at the hip. I thought it was a good match. There was no real story advancement here. I mean, Dominic did nothing. Maybe that is the story. Maybe we'll find out on TV this week that Ray, where were you, you know? But the story has been that Dominic has been making rookie mistakes. I didn't see any rookie mistakes tonight. This was just a straightforward match. It was good, but it felt like it was lacking something. And I think part of it is the fact that we have seen various combinations of Ray and Dominic and Jimmy and Jay many times over the last, 3 months probably? And there was nothing any different about this match. So it was good, but it's nothing that we haven't seen from them before. It's SummerSlam. You're in front of 50,000 people. I expected something more. I got paint-by-numbers stuff. So that's what we got from these guys. Then came the Tiffany Haddish segment. I know everybody pointed out that she is a comedian. She's supposed to be funny. Maybe she was making a joke. I don't know. But she called it the national title. So maybe they'll rename it the national title. Rick Boogs was in the ring to introduce the Intercontinental Champion, King Nakamura, who had a full entrance. And he had the championship around his waist. And so I figured, all right, I guess they're adding a match at the last minute here to the card. And they came down to the ring and Pat McAfee jumped up on the desk, as he always does here. And he's dancing and Nakamura's at ringside dancing. And that was it. We cut to the next segment. What the fuck was the point of this? This was just, let's get people on the show for the sake of getting them on the show. It was the same thing later on with Xavier Woods. It was the same thing with Miz and Morrison. You don't have to get everybody on the show. I don't care how many people are in the building. You don't need everybody on the show. If you have a good idea, go for it. If not, don't put them on the show. That's what Raw and SmackDown are for. I don't know what the point of this was. We were supposed to get Bianca Belair. Here we go. We were supposed to get Bianca Belair. Professor John Gotti. I just caught it out of the corner of my eye. Look at this. Dropping a $150 super chat, which obviously initiated the one of our new super chats here. That's the Solomonster belt, by the way. I'll read his chat later on, but Professor John Gotti, supporting the channel as only he can. Holy shit. Thank you, brother. One of the things, at least, to put a smile on my face tonight. Thank you to him. But we are now up to the SmackDown Women's Championship match. It was supposed to be Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks, a rematch from the main event of Night 1 of WrestleMania this year. And as I said, one of the two matches that I was most looking forward to, this and the main event, were really the two matches I was looking forward to on this show. And all of the rumors, I was reading them, and, you know, when you read stuff like that, you don't know what to believe. But I figured, surely, if they know that this woman is not going to be on the show, then on SmackDown Friday night, they'll shoot some kind of an angle, or they'll make some kind of announcement. And so I waited. As I was waiting to see the return of CM Punk on AEW, I was watching SmackDown. And I saw that they were still promoting the match. And I said, well, I guess the initial reports about both her and Bianca being okay to go are accurate. Everything is okay, and we're going to get the match on Saturday. And by the end of this, of course, as WWE has made me feel before, I felt like a fucking idiot. Because it was not the case. And apparently they knew that it was not the case, but they chose to keep it a secret. They didn't want you to know. whatever the reason, I don't want to speculate. Everybody else is speculating. From the one thing I have read, I think it was Mike Johnson on PW Insider who said it's not believed to be any kind of health issue, which would seem to rule out COVID. There's other rumors about maybe she's pregnant. We don't know. And I'm not going to sit here and run a whole list of different reasons why. I'm sure we'll find out soon enough exactly what's going on with Sasha Banks. Whatever it is, she wasn't there. And so in her place, Bianca comes out first, and Greg Hamilton makes the announcement that Sasha Banks is not here. She will not be appearing tonight. However, and then he introduces Carmella. And to me, that just screamed angle alert, because we've already seen this match about six times. I think the last one was Rolling Loud, right? That actually, what am I talking about? I think it was on Friday night. She had her and she had Zelina Vega. What am I talking about? So I said, surely here at SummerSlam, in front of 50,000 people, they're not just going to run this match back again. So I'm just waiting to see. I figured it would be something with Becky. It'll turn into a triple threat, something, or fatal four ways. Zelina's going to come out. Something like that would happen. Carmella comes down to the ring, and Bianca takes the microphone, and she says to Sasha Banks, wherever she may be, might not be tonight, but one of these days, I'm going to get you in this ring. But if Carmella wants me, then let's do this. And the referee holds up the championship belt, and they're about to start the match when all of a sudden we hear the theme music for Becky Lynch. We have not heard this music in a very long time. Becky Lynch comes out for the first time back on WWE television since May of 2020. It has been over a year since we have seen her. That was when she relinquished the Raw Women's Championship and basically handed it to Asuka, who had won Money in the Bank, and announced that she was pregnant, and they hugged, and they had this big emotional moment. I'm going to go be a mom. And that was the last time we saw Becky Lynch on WWE television. She came out here, and the stadium erupted. This wasn't exactly Edge returning at the Royal Rumble last year in that big baseball stadium and the reaction that he got. This was not CM Punk in Chicago on Friday night, that's for damn sure. But she got a great reaction nonetheless. So she comes into the ring, and the first thing that she does is she kicks Carmella out of the ring. And then she looks at Bianca and she says, give me a second. And she goes outside and she takes care of Carmella. Okay, she gets her out of the picture. So Carmella is done. And she gets in the ring and she tells Bianca, what do you say? You and me right here, right now for the SmackDown Women's Championship. And Bianca thinks about it for a second. She accepts. And I'm thinking, at that moment, before I knew what they were going to do, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, okay, they had to. They had to. Whatever is going on with Sasha Banks, obviously it's serious enough that she couldn't be on the show. How are they going to make up for that? A match with Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch's first match in over a year. Okay. All right. That's about as good of a make good as you could possibly ask for, right? As far as an impromptu match. So that's what I'm thinking. And then the bell rang. And Becky Lynch extends her hand to Bianca. And as soon as Bianca goes in to shake her hand, Becky clocks her and hits her manhandle slam, which is a uranage, a rock bottom. And she pins her. 1, 2, 3. This went about as long as The Rock and Eric Rowan at WrestleMania 32. One and done. Wham, bam, thanks for coming. Becky Lynch, just like that, is your new SmackDown Women's Champion. Her five times now Women's Champion, in fact. I think that includes Raw and SmackDown. And as many of you said, you're exactly right. They Kofi'd her. They Kofi'd Bianca Belair. They gave her the Kofi Kingston treatment in front of 50,000 people here at SummerSlam. Now, the difference, of course, is that Kofi Kingston was done at that point. Forget what they did with him this year. As soon as they shot that angle on SmackDown, on the very first SmackDown on Fox, and he lost to Brock Lesnar in 8 seconds, that was it. Kofi Kingston was right back where he was before, flipping pancakes to the crowd and doing tag team matches. He never did get his rematch until he met Bobby Lashley last month. Bianca is going to come out on television this week, and I think one of two things are going to happen. She's going to come out on television, and she's going to say that she's going to congratulate her, and she's going to say that she wasn't prepared. She had prepared for Sasha Banks, and then Becky came back, and she just wasn't prepared for her. And so she wants a rematch. She believes that she deserves a rematch for the championship. It's just straight up, babyface, you got me. You got one over on me, but this time, eye to eye, let's do it again. Or they use this as a way to turn Bianca Belair heel. I don't know why they would want to do that, because Bianca Belair, I think, she's not going out there getting booed. I think she is well-liked. I think that the reign that she had was very uneventful. I don't blame Bianca Belair for that. Bianca Belair does not write her storylines. Bianca Belair does not go home on her day off and write television for the rest of the week. They actually pay people to write television. I think how scary that is, especially when you see the television on Monday nights, more so than Fridays. They pay people to write this television for them. Bianca Belair does not write television. She goes to work. She looks at the piece of paper they hand her. Here's what you're going to do. Here's who you're going to wrestle. And she says, okay. And she goes to work. And all she can do is go out there and make the best of what they give her. Good, bad, or indifferent. Her entire reign was basically one big feud with Bayley. And they couldn't pay it off because Bayley got hurt, which was nobody's fault. Well, WWE's fault for sending her to do those fucking drills at the Performance Center. But that's another story. But that was really it. She feuded with one person. And then recently had 5,000 matches with Carmella. Not exactly a very exciting reign as women's champion. That's why I was excited to see them go back to Sasha. That was always going to be the big match to do, was the big rematch. Sasha Banks is at her best as a heel. I do not want to see Sasha Banks go back to being babyface anytime soon. So this notion of turning, you know, Bianca heel doesn't really on the surface make a whole lot of sense to me. But when she was in NXT, she had a mean streak to her. And she was whipping people with that braid. So she can play the heel. If they want her to be a heel, she can be a heel. And maybe we end up with heel Bianca trying to get her belt back from babyface Becky Lynch. That is also a possibility. And to me, that would be okay if they want to do that. The point is, I think Bianca will be okay. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that after tonight, Bianca Belair is done, she's buried, she's finished. No, she's not. I think she'll be okay. But that's not even the point. That's not even what really irked me the most. And I know I'm going to sound like a broken record on this, but it goes back to the point that I made at the beginning of the stream. My issue more than anything else has to do with the way that they continually shit on their own fans, and they think they don't have to be honest and upfront with them about anything because card is subject to change and you're going to tune in anyway and you're going to buy your ticket anyway and you're going to put your money down and buy our merch and all of that. So just take it and like it. And I think that is a shit attitude to have. And that is a terrible, terrible way to treat your fan base. That's my issue with this. It was the way that they handled this entire thing, which, by the way, I don't think it, first of all, it didn't do Bianca any favors. I'm not so sure that it's going to do Becky any favors either. I'm curious what kind of reaction she gets on television, because if you really think about it, let's take it back. Take it back, what, 3 years? Do you remember the match at SummerSlam where Becky Lynch lost? Charlotte Flair took the championship. She took her opportunity away from her. And Becky Lynch embraced Charlotte. And then she backed away from her and stared at her. And then she smacked the shit out of her. And the place exploded. It was not the reaction they were going for. They actually thought they were turning Becky Lynch heel. And it did the exact opposite. But the whole point was, she was turning heel because Charlotte Flair had been out, I think her boob popped or some kind of medical issue or minor surgery she needed, whatever it was. She was out for a while, and she was off television. She came back, and immediately is thrust into the women's championship picture. Becky Lynch had been on television for a few months, very quietly racking up wins. It was very low key. They didn't really draw a lot of attention to it, but all of a sudden, Becky, who hadn't been doing anything, was winning and winning and winning and winning and winning, and people liked Becky, and they were excited to see her challenge for the title. All of a sudden, here comes Charlotte, who hasn't even been on TV, and Charlotte, they do this triple threat match. I think Carmella was in the match, and Charlotte wins the championship. Well, fast forward now to 2021. Becky Lynch is off television for over a year. Bianca Belair is the SmackDown Women's Champion. She's already been screwed over by being told your opponent is not here tonight. We're going to give you a new opponent that you weren't prepared for. Here comes Becky Lynch. Has not wrestled a match in over a year. Almost a year and a half. And in her very first night back, she wins the championship from Bianca Belair. And she was throwing it in her face, too. She was trash-talking her in the ring. Well, the fans booed Charlotte for that 3 years ago. So it would be hypocritical, if you think about it, for the fans not to react the same way to Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch just came back and did the exact same thing that she shit on Charlotte Flair for. Taking an opportunity away from somebody else who's been on television, who's been around working for it. Will the fans turn against Becky Lynch? That is the question. When she comes out on television this week, is it going to be a mixed reaction? Or is it going to be solidly 95 to 100% cheers for Becky Lynch? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And I don't think they want people to boo Becky. So it could backfire on them, which is another reason why I think the way they did this tonight was incredibly stupid. I think it could blow up in their face. So anyway, that's my two cents on that whole thing. They may have been put in a tough spot by Sasha, but they did not have to do things the way they did tonight. This was not the right way to go about doing it. And I think they are rightfully going to take it on the chin from a lot of people. But the question is, will they care? Of course, the answer is no. Just go on and do their thing. They don't care. They don't care. They've already proven that. Crown Jewel, you'll be happy to know, is coming back. The next Saudi show. They didn't give a specific date. It will probably be October 21st, which is a Thursday. But they said in October, WWE is returning to Saudi Arabia. For those of you keeping track, that is going to be Sweet Saudi Money 6. Subtitle yet to be determined. I usually come up with my own title for these shows. I am open to your suggestions. What would be a good title for Sweet Saudi Money 6? Aren't too many words that rhyme with 6. There's a few I could think of, but I am open to suggestions. We had Drew McIntyre one-on-one against Jinder Mahal. As if I wasn't already fit to be tied at this point in the show. Now you're going to put Drew McIntyre against Jinder Mahal in front of me? This sucked. But at least it was over. Very quickly, it was over in less than 5 minutes. Veer and Shanky were barred from ringside. They were not allowed to be in Jinder Mahal's corner. Jinder briefly got control until McIntyre hit, I think it was three or four overhead suplexes. And then back in the ring, he hit a Claymore kick, and that was it. 1, 2, 3. Drew McIntyre wins. The way it should be, it was the right outcome. Crowd didn't care about any of this. I didn't care about any of this. I didn't care about any of this coming into the show, let alone during the show, especially after that SmackDown Women's title stuff. Veer and Shanky came down after to help Mahal out of the ring, and as they were leaving, Drew grabbed his sword, Angela, and he tried to decapitate these men, but they escaped. He tried to scalp them. He tried to kill them with this sword. He tried to murder them with this weapon. But he did not succeed. You know, and I actually feel bad for these two guys, especially Drew. You know, because I don't care for this feud, but the guy was WWE champion. And I don't want to see him wrestling for the WWE title right now because he had so many title matches. I'm not saying that he should be feuding with Lashley, but he was champion. He was in the hunt, right? He was in the mix. And now he's getting 4 minutes on the undercard playing He-Man. I mean, you talk about a fall from grace. He's lucky the people are still, they still like him. But holy shit, I could not possibly care any less about what they have him doing right now. And him with that sword. You know, the sword looks cool as a prop during his entrance, but him actually kind of wielding it around and threatening people with it is completely preposterous. We had Charlotte Flair, Rhea Ripley, and Nikki Ash in a triple threat match for the Raw Women's Championship. Nikki got noticeable boos during the ring introductions, and I will have you know, I knew a lot of people who were at the stadium tonight, but I heard from two people. She was booed out of the building. At least in the sections where they were sitting. She got booed out of the building. So if it sounded any differently to you on television, that's called crowd sweetening. I heard the boos even despite whatever sweetening they may have been doing. People are not into this gimmick. Little girls are into this gimmick. Other people are not into this gimmick. So she got booed. Highlight of this match was Charlotte hitting a corkscrew moonsault from the top rope out to the floor onto both women. She almost killed Nikki on this corkscrew dive. They had a camera positioned right behind Nikki Cross, and it looked like she just got obliterated upon impact. How she didn't get, you know, seriously injured is a miracle when you see how Charlotte landed. You know, obviously when she's doing that twisting thing in the air, it looks cool, but... And I'll take that over the moonsault, that the regular moonsault she does. This actually looks cool, but yeah, I feared for Nikki there for a second. So Rhea put Nikki in a standing cloverleaf. Charlotte tried to hit her with a big boot, but Ripley ducked, put her in the cloverleaf. And Charlotte countered, put a figure eight on, but Nikki comes off the top rope with a splash to break it up. Nikki gives Charlotte a swinging neckbreaker. Ripley breaks that up. Nikki reversed a riptide. Rhea was going for a finish. She turned it into a DDT. And so that took care of Rhea Ripley. She rolled out to the floor. Nikki went for a flying crossbody. Charlotte sidestepped it. She applied the figure eight. Nikki Cross tried, but in the end, the pain was too much, and she submitted. Charlotte Flair. I know this is going to come as a huge shock to a lot of you. This is going to be a major, major surprise for many of you, I know. But Charlotte Flair is once again the women's champion. 12 times now, Charlotte Flair is the women's champion, this time on the Raw side. But I will say that, you know, she was the... look at this. We are getting an emergency weather alert here in the breaking news here in New York. We have a flash flood warning in effect in this area until 2:15 a.m. This is a dangerous and life-threatening situation. Do not attempt to travel unless you are fleeing an area subject to flooding or are under an evacuation order. I'm streaming SummerSlam right now, so fuck off. This is more important. We got to talk about the rest of this show. I don't care if a huge wave crashes through and wipes me out into the sea. I'm going to finish this review no matter what. Because we have some other stuff to get to here. Including a contest, by the way. I haven't forgotten about all you guys yet. So anyway, what was I saying before I was interrupted here? By this life-threatening alert. Here in the middle of this stream. Ah, yes. We were talking about Charlotte Flair. What I was going to say is the funny thing to me is the fact that Charlotte was the lone heel in this match. And I don't know how many of you noticed. I mean, it's not like Rhea was being booed, but she got the biggest reaction of anybody in this, like, babyface reaction. Charlotte did, at least to my ears, of anybody in this match. Nikki was being booed by a majority of the people, but Charlotte was the one who was really getting the big reactions, and you can understand it. You can understand why. When you're out there doing corkscrew moonsaults off the top rope... What do you expect? Of course, people are going to cheer. That's like a babyface move. She's like a female Ricochet out there, bouncing around doing all these dives and all these moves to get a big reaction from the crowd. So, you know, in a way, it's really not all that surprising. But I thought this turned into a pretty good match down the stretch. Wasn't really into it the first few minutes, but it picked up. I thought it got pretty good there at the end. The best thing that happened here is they got that championship off of Nikki Ash. Nikki Cross, whatever you want to call her. This gimmick is a dead end. This gimmick, she should not be holding the Raw Women's Championship. That's for sure. They had to get that title off of her. And if Charlotte is the one to get the title onto, then you know what? So be it. I'll take it. I just wanted to see that title off of her. It was going to be Rhea or Charlotte. I would have preferred it to be Rhea, but I know better. So, of course, Charlotte is once again the champion. We had Edge one-on-one against Seth Rollins. Here's where things got really good. Rollins was out in his Michael Jackson-inspired gear. I knew that jacket looked familiar to me, and I had to look it up online, and sure enough, he was paying homage to Michael Jackson with his getup tonight. Edge brought back the old Brood entrance, which we heard the Brood music on SmackDown this week. They did the old bloodbath, which it's PG now, so you can't call it a bloodbath. They called it a brood bath. Just fucking ridiculous. They can't even call it a bloodbath. They have to call it a brood bath. And instead of red, it was black. It looked like he struck oil or something. The symbiote from Spider-Man, it came and fell down on Seth Rollins. His white suit turned jet black on Friday night. So they've been talking about the Brood a lot recently. I'm kind of bummed that they didn't bring Gangrel back for a cameo. Gangrel, I've seen him recently. He's looking the same. Gangrel must be drinking from the same fountain of youth that Mario Lopez drinks from, because they both look the same way they looked 20 years ago. Gangrel's still out there fanging and banging. Right, that's what he does. He's fanging and banging. I haven't done any fanging in a while. Banging's another story. But anyway, so Edge comes out, and he's coming out to the Brood music, but they have the whole Brood entrance. So the Ring of Fire, and Edge rises from the Ring of Fire. I thought that was very, very cool. I thought his entrance, honestly, was probably the best thing on the show up to this point. That I enjoyed. And when he got halfway down the aisle, his Alter Bridge music kicked in. So, of course, he had his regular music. So skipping ahead here to when it really started to get good, because I thought the first several minutes of this was very boring. I was looking at the clock, just waiting for something to happen here. And part of it is because the show was going very late, and I was just ready for this to be over. So I thought the beginning of this match was very, very dull. But they end up on top rope, and they're sort of jockeying for position, and Edge hits a swinging neck breaker. A man with a triple fusion in his neck hits a swinging neck breaker off the top rope. He's a crazy man. Edge hits a clothesline, big boot, execution DDT for a near fall. Rollins comes back with a superplex into a Falcon Arrow for a near fall of his own. And then Edge hits the Glam Slam for a near fall. Gee, I wonder who taught him that move. There's a move I haven't seen him use before. The old Beth Phoenix Glam Slam. It's the same move that I believe Jade Cargill is using on AEW television, right? Although I don't remember what name she gave to it. But Edge's head is on the apron. Rollins goes for a stomp. Edge avoids it. He ends up spearing Rollins out to the floor, Big E style, but it looked a hell of a lot safer than the way Big E does it. Still dangerous, but it didn't look like he destroyed his shoulder the way it looks like Big E does every time he does the move. Back in the ring, Edge goes for a spear. Rollins catches him with a pedigree for a near fall. Rollins with the Phoenix Splash attempt, which I think Michael Cole maybe called it a twisting corkscrew something or other. It's a Phoenix Splash. Edge, though, moved out of the way, and he delivered a spear for what I thought was a great near fall. The whole stadium now is filled with chants of "this is awesome." Rollins tries for the curb stomp. Edge grabs his foot, though, before it comes down. His Edge is face up, and he grabs the foot before it can come down on his face. He shoves Rollins backwards, and then he applies his version of an Indian deathlock. He calls it the Educator. I know this because Michael Cole yelled it at me multiple times. Apparently, Edge wants to be a teacher. Rollins countered. Edge caught him in a crossface. Rollins tried to fight out of it. Edge is just smashing him face first into the mat over and over and over again. And at that point, Edge reapplied the crossface and Rollins tapped out. Exactly as predicted. What did I say coming into this show? We had three part-time legends on this show in the three big matches. We had John Cena, we had Bill Goldberg, and we had Edge. And I said, of those three, the one who I picked to win is going to be Edge. And sure enough, Edge is the one who came out with the W on this show. Because the story built that way. I mean, Edge, they had the callback to the story from Raw in 2014 where Edge said, I could have broken your neck and I didn't and I'm going to finish the job. Edge lost at WrestleMania. He got screwed and lost again at Money in the Bank to Roman Reigns, thanks to Seth Rollins. At some point, Edge has to win something. The story dictated that this was Edge's time. I'm sure there's going to be another match between the two of them. But to me, Edge was the one who had to win this match. I thought it was an excellent match. Got off to a slow start, but it definitely picked up and got real good. So by this point in the night, it was almost 11 o'clock, and they sent Miz and Morrison to the ring for comedy. Kill me now! We've got Miz and Morrison doing their moist shit on television. By the way, Logan Paul was in the crowd tonight. He didn't do anything. He just sat there looking douchey. He's going to be on Raw Monday night for Moist TV. I already know what I'm not going to be watching. I can't wait to not watch. I'll flip over to a different channel during this. I hear QVC will have something on sale that might be of interest during that particular segment. So you know what to not look forward to on Monday night. But Miz and Morrison are out there, and they're talking about their Dripstick 2000, and Morrison thought Miz had it, and Miz thought Morrison had it. Ah, ha, ha, knee-slapping comedy here on this show. All of a sudden, we hear Xavier Woods. I don't know where Kofi was. He wasn't there. But we heard Xavier Woods. He was dressed up for some reason as Scott Hall. You talk about random. I don't know. He was dressed up as Scott Hall. He had a water jug because at the beginning of the night, Miz and Morrison, I think it was on the kickoff show, they drove a Ready Refresh truck, which is the same water company or water vendor that we used to use, you know, one of my jobs when we had the water coolers. So I know the logo. I know the company. So I knew that they were going to do something. I just figured it was going to be some dumb backstage segment. I didn't know they were going to send them to the ring for a whole 5 or 10 minute thing. But here comes Xavier Woods out of the crowd, and he has a giant water jug strapped to his back. It looked like a Ghostbusters proton pack. And he goes to the ring, and the crowd can, I can honestly tell you, a New Day, as tired as their act is to a lot of people, myself included, the people still react to New Day when they come out. New Day still has a lot of fans, right? So their stuff, even the lame stuff, will still get a reaction from some people. Nobody cared about this at all. Nobody gave a shit. Not even New Day, not even Xavier Woods could save this turd of a segment. Nobody cared. And he comes out there, he's standing on the apron, he starts spraying them with water. This was garbage. They had no business being on the show, and the less said about it, the better. So we move on. Speaking of garbage, Goldberg, one-on-one against Bobby Lashley for the WWE Championship. This began at 11:14 p.m. We had a collar and elbow tie-up between Bill Goldberg and Bobby Lashley to start this match. Shoulder block by Lashley coming off the ropes does not move Goldberg. Goldberg hits the ropes. He comes off with a flying shoulder tackle, and down goes the champion. Goldberg slams Lashley. He gets loud boos from the crowd. And I think it's very telling. You know, when I talk about Raw on the podcast, and probably other YouTubers and podcasters, you know, have the same opinion. We're talking about Nikki Ash and this whole gimmick, or we're talking about Goldberg. Yeah, some people will go, well, you're part of a very small segment. You know, when the people are at the shows, they cheer loudly and wildly for all of these people. Really? Well, then how do you explain 50,000 people in a building tonight booing Nikki Ash out of the building and booing Goldberg? Is it 50,000 podcasters in the crowd? I know there were some podcasters in the crowd tonight, but you're full of shit. Again, I always say this every week. Stop making excuses. There are just certain things that you cannot make excuses for. Stop making excuses. Goldberg slammed him, and the people booed because they did not want to see him in this match. They did not want to see him win, even though he was positioned as the babyface coming into the match. They didn't want to see it. So they booed. And then there was some sloppy shit in here where they weren't on the same page. Goldberg blocked the suplex attempt, and he was going to try for a jackhammer. And every time now that he goes for a jackhammer or attempts it, I kind of hold my breath because I don't know what to expect. Goldberg, as far as like a normal human being, even at 54, he's still a strong dude, but he's 54 and he's in there with a Bobby Lashley, or when he was in there with The Undertaker. He's in there with some of these, Brock Lesnar, right? He's in there with guys that are bigger than him, younger and bigger than he is. Lashley's not a young guy either, but even Lashley is 45, okay? He's younger than Goldberg, and he's a big dude. He's a heavy dude. So I said, oh boy, here we go. And he goes to pick him up for the jackhammer, but he couldn't get him up. And I don't know if it was designed that way or if he really just legitimately could not get him up. But he dropped him back down. And Lashley hit a flatliner instead to kind of save it. At this point, Lashley went up top. Goldberg got up. He caught him. The old Ric Flair spot. And he threw Lashley off the top rope. But when he threw him in such a way where it looked like it was like a 45-degree angle, and he was headed straight down into the mat. And I kind of, you know, looked away for a second, but he almost spiked him on his head. He landed, I think, more on his shoulder. He could have broken his shoulder. It looked very dangerous. And it could have ended very badly here for the WWE champion, and what a disaster that would have been for this company if they lost Lashley to a major injury. So Goldberg almost killed this man. Then he set up for a spear, and the crowd booed. There go all those 50,000 podcasters again, booing Goldberg. But no, they don't represent the masses. No, not at all. So Goldberg sets up for a spear, they boo. But then they cheered wildly when MVP grabbed Lashley and pulled him out of the ring to safety. Goldberg exits the ring, and he spears Lashley on the floor. MVP then strikes Goldberg in the knee when the referee is distracted. Lashley starts attacking Goldberg's leg. He goes for the hurt lock. Goldberg powers out. Lashley chop blocks Goldberg, and he rolls to the outside. Goldberg is selling the leg. And I'm going on about this match on Twitter, and people are like, oh, Solomonster, you know, he's really hurt. He's really hurt. No, he's not really hurt. Well, he might be hurt and didn't tell anybody. But no, this is the story of the match, was this knee injury, because Lashley kept going after the knee, which he wouldn't be doing if he was legitimately injured. The match would have been stopped right then and there, and he would have told Lashley, back the fuck off. No, it was the story that it was all done by design. He's selling the knee. Lashley targets the knee. He goes outside. He picks him up. He drives him leg first into the post. He does it a second time, which he wouldn't do if Goldberg was legitimately hurt. So Goldberg is back in the ring, and he tries to stand up, and he falls down. He can't stand. And the referee stops the match. And Bobby Lashley is awarded the win via ref stoppage. That is how this match came to an end, via ref stoppage. Couldn't even do a straight finish where Bobby Lashley dominated and pinned this man. Even Drew McIntyre pinned him at the Royal Rumble. But they did the ref stoppage, which, you know, a lot of times is a finish that you will do to build to a rematch. But at that moment, I didn't think they were going to do a rematch. Not until what happened next. Then I realized what they're doing here. All of a sudden, Sunberg appears out of nowhere. Goldberg's son, Gage. He jumps on Lashley's back, and Lashley pulls him off, and he puts him in the hurt lock, and he passes out. And I'm just thinking, babyface for life. I said, if Bobby Lashley is going to be portrayed as this just monstrous killer, for all of the screen time that Goldberg's son has been given on television recently, we know he's going to be at SummerSlam. We know he's probably going to play some kind of role in this match in some way, whether it's physically or they're going to, you know, threaten him or something. I didn't think they would go through with it, but I kind of joked. I said, I want to see Lashley take out Sunberg. And guess what? That's what he did. He took out Sunberg. He put the kid down. Now, MVP is all scared. He grabs a microphone. He makes it very clear to Goldberg and the audience that Bobby Lashley couldn't have possibly known that that was Goldberg's son because he was attacked from behind. And when Goldberg hears this, his ears perk up and he looks over and he sees his son laying on the mat. And Goldberg crawls over to protect his son. He's yelling at Lashley, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you." And that is when the reality of the situation hit me. And I sat here and I said, son of a bitch, they're going to do a rematch. They're actually going to put these guys in the ring against each other again. I just assumed it was a one-shot deal for SummerSlam. All hands on deck. Let's get all our big names back. John Cena. We'll bring in Goldberg because we've done a fucking terrible job of building up other baby faces for this guy to wrestle. So let's dust off Goldberg and bring him back, even though he already wrestled for the championship in January. Let's bring him on back in August and do the same thing all over again. Because we don't have any baby faces. They must really not have any baby faces because they're going to do it again. And it's not a coincidence that they announced tonight that in October, which is not that far away, they're going to be back in Saudi Arabia. We know Goldberg's history in Saudi Arabia, all those great Goldberg matches that we've seen over there. I mean, we just remember the classic match that he had with The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. We remember what happened in that match, don't we? How about that follow-up, that great classic against The Undertaker? You know Goldberg is going to probably end up on that card in Saudi Arabia. Here I thought he had hit his two-match quota for the year. But I find it impossible to believe that they're not going to put him on that Saudi Arabia show. Saudi Arabia loves Goldberg. They're going to actually run this back again. There's no way they shot that angle the way they did tonight and they don't follow up on it. So we are not done with Goldberg. We're probably not done with Sunberg. This company, it's like an iceberg hit them. And they're going down slowly, creatively, slowly. It's a slow demise. I don't believe it. I do believe it, actually. I do believe it, but I don't believe it. This was awful. This was awful. This did not need to go 7 minutes, by the way. 7.5 minutes this match went. This did not need to go 7 minutes. Goldberg is fucking terrible. He almost killed Lashley in this match. He almost paralyzed The Undertaker in Saudi Arabia. I do not need to see him in the ring again. If you're going to put him in 7-minute matches like this, or championship matches, he has no business being in the ring in matches like this. You want to put him in the ring for 3 minutes against Dolph Ziggler? Go ahead and be my guest. That's the perfect use of Goldberg. Otherwise, keep him the fuck out of the ring. They build the main event as the greatest of our time against the greatest of all time. Roman Reigns one-on-one against John Cena for the Universal Championship. I was looking forward to this match. This is the biggest match the WWE could have done outside of Roman Reigns against The Rock to play off of the whole bloodline thing. I'm the tribal chief. I'm the head of the table. The Rock comes in and says, you know what? Not so fast. That's the story. I'm sure they're dying to get The Rock to come back. They're trying to get him supposedly for Survivor Series in Brooklyn to kick off a storyline that would take them into WrestleMania. But you're not going to get The Rock just yet. John Cena, they were able to get him back. And it was a big deal because we have not seen John Cena in the ring in 2.5 years in a real match. I'm not talking about Firefly Funhouse. That's not a match. I'm not talking about being in six-man tag dark matches where you're in the ring for 60 seconds. This was going to be a real test for John Cena. He has not been tested in a major singles pay-per-view match like this in over 2.5 years. So the question coming into this that I had was, has time passed him by? Are we going to see a slower John Cena? Are we going to see the same John Cena going out there and being able to put on a very good match with the right dance partner? Can he still do it? Can he still go out there and deliver a very good 20 or 25 minute main event match? I'll tell you something. The first half of this match, the answer to that question, I thought was no. I thought the first half of this match was fucking boring. I was just waiting for something to happen in this match. And then it started to finally pick up. Yeah, I understand matches sometimes will build slowly, but I've seen plenty of matches build slowly where, you know, it's kind of interesting, or it's kind of, you kind of see what's going on and where they're going here. This was very slow. This was very sluggish early on, and I was not impressed early by what they were doing. By the way, let me also mention this before I get into the rest of this match here. I saw what they did on SmackDown Friday night, final face-to-face promo between Cena and Reigns on TV, and I thought it was fine. But then at the very end there, Roman Reigns goes, if I don't beat you, if I lose my Universal Championship, if I don't leave Allegiant Stadium with the title, I'll leave WWE. And I had like a facepalm moment, and I just said, why? They've done this before. Why do they insist on giving away the finisher of their main event? As soon as Roman Reigns said that, I knew. I mean, I figured he was winning anyway, but there's always that element of doubt. Maybe they'll put the belt on Cena and he'll drop it at Madison Square Garden in a few weeks or something before he leaves. As soon as Roman Reigns said that, they gave away the finish of the main event. You didn't have to do that. The match was selling itself. You said it yourself here, the star of this generation against the star of the past generation, Cena going for title number 17. All it takes is 1, 2, 3. That's it. That's all the story had to be. And then Roman Reigns goes, well, if I lose, I'll leave WWE. And not a fucking person in the world believes that he was going to leave WWE. So they gave away the finish of the match on Friday night, 24 hours before the pay-per-view. Way to go, guys. Good job. Good job, you morons. Reigns was toying with Cena early on. He grabbed his title. He started posing on the rings. He was just playing around with this guy like a cat with a chew toy. I mean, he was having his way with John Cena. He was talking trash into the camera, standing on the steps, posing and holding up his championship. As soon as he got back in the ring, Cena went for a surprise roll-up. Reigns kicked out. Cena went for an attitude adjustment, but Reigns slipped out and hit a DDT. Cena came back. And he hit the ropes for a flying shoulder tackle attempt, but Reigns caught him flush right in the face with a shot in midair, right in the mouth. Reigns put on a sleeper hold. Cena, though, he fought out of it. He got a clothesline. He goes for the you can't see me set up to the five-knuckle shuffle, but Reigns grabs the guillotine and then gets a jackknife cover for a near fall. So Cena gets back up. He walks right into a Superman punch. Reigns goes for a spear. Cena kicks him. As Reigns, his head is down, he's coming in, he kicks him right in the chest. Five-knuckle shuffle connects this time. Attitude adjustment. And Cena goes for the cover. Reigns kicks out at 2.5. Cena locks on his terrible-looking STF, which has not improved over the years. I love how Steve Austin, by the way, I think it was on the most recent Broken Skull Sessions that he did, actually. He had Lashley on. And Lashley, they were showing highlights of the match that Cena and Lashley had at the Great American Bash back in 07. I think it might have been that first pay-per-view after the Benoit murders. But they were showing highlights of that match, which was Lashley's final match before he went off to have surgery, and then he ended up, you know, leaving the company. And Cena puts on, and this is like 2007, Cena puts on the STF. It looks like shit. It does not look painful in the least. And Austin is just sitting there, and he's kind of laughing about it, but he goes, man, I always give him crap for that. Like, you can tell how much it bothers him, how awful. And he says, he's told Cena, you got to tighten up your shit, son. But apparently, Cena never took his advice. I wish he kind of would have a long time ago. But he put the STF on. Roman got the rope break. He rolls out to the floor. As soon as Cena exits the ring, Reigns, though, he jumps up, hits the drive-by on the apron. Cena, though, mounts a comeback, and he ends up taking Roman Reigns through the announce desk with an attitude adjustment. Michael Cole is just, he's creaming himself at ringside. He's losing his mind. Cena rushes Reigns back into the ring for a cover, and again, Roman kicks out. Cena heads up top for the diving leg drop. Reigns counters into a powerbomb. That's the same thing Batista did to him 13 years ago at SummerSlam. Superman punch by Reigns is dodged. Cena gets a roll-up, two count only. Attitude adjustment attempt, Reigns slips out. Another Superman punch. Another kick out by John Cena. This time the clock ticks down to midnight Eastern time. It is midnight now in the middle of this main event. Roman Reigns again sets up for a spear. Cena sidesteps him. Roman posts himself shoulder first right in the corner. And Cena drags Reigns up to the top rope for a super attitude adjustment. I believe that is the, if I remember, that is the same spot that he did with AJ Styles. I think it was in there, was it in the SummerSlam match and AJ kicked out? Or did he win with that? Maybe he won with that in the Royal Rumble match at the Alamo Dome. I don't remember. But I know at least in one of their matches, they did that same spot. And Roman Reigns here in this spot kicks out. And people are going crazy for all of this. And this is exactly what I was talking about coming into this pay-per-view. Every near fall down the stretch here in this match had drama to it. The people were hanging on every near fall because it was all about title number 17. If John Cena wins this match, he makes history. For the 17th time, he becomes the world champion. That's why you want to tell that story. And people were buying into these near falls, and they were losing their minds every time he would come within a hair of becoming the champion. So it made the match that much better. So now Cena mocks the Roman Reigns pose when Roman goes into the corner and he does the whole hoo-ah, kind of like Mantar a little bit. He goes for the spear. He comes in. Reigns kicks him. They end up doing the whole yay, boo, back and forth, or exchanging strikes. Two Superman punches by Roman Reigns connect. Down goes John Cena. And Roman again sets up for the spear, and this time he hits it, and he finally gets the three counts. 1, 2, 3, fair and square in the middle of the ring, the way it should be. Roman Reigns defeats John Cena and asserts his dominance as the Universal Champion. And then, as Roman Reigns is celebrating, and the pay-per-view is about to go off the air, Brock Lesnar's music hits. Everybody loses their minds, and here comes the Beast. And he's got the Viking ponytail. He looks like Thor walking out there in his tracksuit, I think is what he was wearing, I think. He walks down. Actually, no, he was wearing jeans, wasn't he? He was wearing, like, street clothes, and I actually thought he looked pretty badass. It was a very different look than we are accustomed to seeing for Brock Lesnar. He had some facial hair. He walks down to the ring. He circles the ring like a shark. Paul Heyman was almost in tears. Paul Heyman was awesome here. If you just watch his facial expressions and him clutching the championship, Heyman is always great in these situations. He could tell a great story just with his face and his eyes and how he reacts without even saying a word. That is a master of his craft. And Brock stands on the ring steps and peers into the ring at Roman, and he steps over onto the apron, and he gets into the ring, and he goes face-to-face with Roman Reigns. And Roman ends up bowing out, and people boo. And Brock poses to end the show as the conquering babyface here, the heroic, returning, conquering babyface. Brock Lesnar is back. That was quite the save there at the very end of the pay-per-view, because I'm very happy to see Brock back. This is a very intriguing story to me now. They can go a lot of different ways with this. You know, does Roman Reigns now, or Paul Heyman rather, Paul Heyman's allegiance is going to be tested now. Does he stay with Roman Reigns? Is he loyal to the tribal chief? Or does he go back to Brock? Does he pull on Roman what he did to Brock back at the Survivor Series when he turned on him in 2002? That's going to be a big part of the story going forward now. And I assume the next pay-per-view is where we will see a match between them, unless this is only the beginning tease, and maybe they're going to save it for a bigger show down the road. But Brock is back. We don't obviously know the nature of his deal. It's Brock Lesnar, so he's not going to be on television every week. I don't think he should be on television every week, but I hope we get him a little more often than we usually do. We have not had babyface Brock Lesnar since he came back to WWE. You know, he would get cheered sometimes, but he was never positioned or booked, written into the show like a babyface. So with him as the face and Roman as the heel, and where does Heyman fall in all this? I'm looking forward to this. I think this is going to be a fun story to follow along with. That was a nice surprise there at the end of the pay-per-view, but it does not change my overall opinion of this show. This was a very mixed bag of a show. I can't give this show a thumbs up because, to me, this didn't feel like a special show the way that it should have. You know, you're in a big stadium in front of 50,000 people. It's like a WrestleMania-type show. It had its moments, but a lot of the show, I just found myself sitting here kind of bored. You know, and Edge and Rollins, kudos to them. They had the match of the night. I love the surprise at the end. I absolutely hate everything they did as far as the SmackDown women's stuff is concerned. I think it's a fucking insult and a slap in the face to the audience. But to me, this is a very, very mixed bag. A very middle-of-the-road show. Did not feel like as big of an event as it should have. All I heard was, you know, for weeks and weeks and weeks leading up to this show, they want this to be their WrestleMania. They're going to load this show up. It's going to be, they're going to blow everybody away with SummerSlam. Well, now SummerSlam is over, and I pose the question to all of you. Were you blown away by this show tonight? Because I wasn't. Were you blown away? Did they knock your socks off tonight? I think the answer is no. But maybe I'm wrong. Let's take a look at what you guys think here. We have a poll going right now in the chat. Thumbs up is winning 55% to 45% with 3,500 votes in. Well, if you're in the chat right now, just look up. It's right there. You can vote right there on the spot. We have a Twitter poll going as well with another 2,600 votes. This is the inverse. Look at this. 43.8% thumbs up, 56.2% thumbs down. So we have two different results going. In the chat live, it's a minor thumbs up. And on Twitter at the moment, it is a minor thumbs down. But we have about 6,000 plus votes in between these two polls. So go ahead and make your voice heard. We have a lot of feedback that I'm very interested here to dive into from all of you guys. We're going to take a look at your super chats here and get a sense of what you thought of this show tonight and anything else you guys want to get off your chest. It is late, but I promise you that I will not leave here until I get through each and every single one of your messages. So, and I thank you for everybody who has sent in a super chat. You guys are awesome. So let's scroll back here. These are all the new ones. Did not expect that pay-per-view to go as late as they did tonight. I gotta tell you, I'm not a fan of these late shows. I hope this does not become the norm. I understand SummerSlam is one of their big events of the year, but I definitely would not like to see this become the norm. Alrighty. We're going all the way back to our buddy Hashway. What's going on, Hashway? Hashway appreciates the efforts here on the channel, and is proud to say that the first match he ever saw was Bret Hart against Steve Austin at WrestleMania. Well, that was a hell of a match to see, I'll tell you that much. Second one was Bret against Owen at WrestleMania. He says the man made him a fan to this very day. Well, there is a reason that Bret Hart is referred to and thought of as the best. It's because he is. Naif Alsafar, thank you for the $9.99. Ryan Spies, way to show that main eventing and winning at WrestleMania does not matter when they just have Bianca get squashed like that. What a joke. Chris Quillman, they had the opportunity to bring Becky back and to possibly have an excellent match with Bianca for the championship, but wasted it. It would have been a great follow-up to what we got last night. And look, if the issue is that Becky Lynch is not ready to come back yet and have a full match, then they should have saved her appearance for the end and just had her walk out and let Bianca wrestle somebody else. I mean, fuck, put Toni Storm out there. I know she's new and all, but at least it would have been, at least it would have had a purpose in terms of giving people a match. You get to showcase a new face. Maybe you could even kickstart a program between the two of them. Anything would have been better than what they did here on this show. HBK C83, has the groundwork been laid for a heel Bianca? It's possible. Doesn't excuse what they did tonight, but they, if they want to turn her heel, yeah, they could turn her heel. Sure. But as I said earlier, what Becky Lynch did to her tonight in storyline effectively is the same thing Charlotte Flair did to her a few years ago. So we'll see if the fans respond the same way that they did to Charlotte. Are they going to be consistent in the way they react, or are they just going to cheer for Becky when they booed Charlotte for doing the same thing back then? Rizzo with the $10 super chat. I am willing to wait before I destroy WWE for the destruction of Bianca, but I am definitely curious about that decision. I thought that's why Carmella was out there. Make it a triple threat and pin Mella. Again, you're not going to hear me talking about the destruction of Bianca Belair, so don't lump me in with anybody else who is going to be telling you that she's done or she's buried or she's finished. She's not. I'm not saying that that is the case, but my issue is something completely different than that. That's the issue I had with it tonight. I'm not going to get into it again. Frost757, we interrupt SummerSlam to bring you WrestleMania 9. Becky certainly did her best Hulk Hogan impression tonight. Abdul Rahman, Becky was no way in ring shape, and that doesn't excuse that trash finish. A last-minute decision for the huge pop, maybe? And congrats for hitting 64,000. So, yeah, we hit 64,000 here on the channel this morning. So, thank you. You guys made that possible. And we have also hit some pretty cool milestones in terms of our channel memberships. Even tonight, we picked up a whole bunch of new members. I'm going to be welcoming our new channel members to the family and get you guys into the Discord. If you would like to be in the Discord, you can drop me a message and I will send you a link. Chris Williams, 5 people on this card use a spear as a setup or a finish. Who has the best? Who has the worst? 5 people, right? So Goldberg, Roman Reigns, Bobby Lashley. Who are the other ones? Edge. Who's the 5th one? I'm missing the 5th one. Who has the best... Boy, are we talking all time or are we talking currently? Because Goldberg, I'll give the guy credit. Goldberg, I always thought, had the best spear. Less so today. Although I loved the spear to Dolph Ziggler a few years ago at SummerSlam. Dolph Ziggler, of course, sold it. You know, he sold it like murder. So how much of that was Goldberg and how much of that was Dolph? It was probably a little bit of both. But I'll give Goldberg. I always thought Goldberg had the best spear. No matter what I think of him now in the ring, Goldberg, to me, had the best spear. Edge, I actually thought Edge had the worst. And I still feel that way. I think Edge has one of the worst spears. Never looked devastating to me. And now at almost 50 years old, it definitely doesn't look devastating to me. King Bling, buy or sell on the better reaction, Punk or Lynch? Oh my God, Punk, it's not even close. Are you kidding me? I mean, I know there were more people in the building tonight, but CM Punk by a mile. Miguel Maldonado, very upset that Bianca lost her title to Becky Lynch without no story behind it. It was sloppy and a desperate move. Level 20, oh, Charlotte, that's the, oh, okay, Charlotte is the other one who uses, yeah, she definitely does not have the best spear. We can leave Charlotte on the side. Level 20, sometime down the road, somebody is going to do a case study of Punk's return and Becky's return and show how it is done right and how it is done wrong. Dada and Boy podcast. Good seeing Becky back, but the Bianca squash had me scratching my head. These two had the potential to steal the show. And he said that it was very meh. Meh. It's a good word for a good part of the show. King Bling. Another buy or sell on best reaction. Punk, Lynch, or Brock? Punk. Punk, Brock, and then Lynch. Tall Jamie, Paul Heyman on a pole match, please WWE. Well, it would be Paul Heyman on a forklift, right? That's where Judy Bagwell was. She was on a forklift. So that's probably what it would be. Masked Critic with the $9.99, Lesnar versus Roman for custody of Paul Heyman. Jake Rohald, So happy. All I wanted before the show was for Edge's entrance to involve a box-like structure, and it did. Red Ranger. I was hoping for Lashley against Brock, not Roman. We've seen Roman against Brock before, but it's WWE creative after all. Hated Bianca getting squashed by Becky. Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious at this point that they just don't have any interest in doing Brock and Lashley, so we're probably just not going to get it. Ryan Spies, Brock back just in time for sweet Saudi Money 6. It is funny how some of these people come back around the time they're getting ready to ship back out over to Saudi Arabia. They get all the big stars there. I expect to see The Undertaker there on one of those shows, too. I hear the Prince is very fond of The Undertaker. If he wants The Undertaker, he'll get The Undertaker. Griga. My prediction, Big E cashes in tomorrow. On who? On who? On Goldberg? Or not Goldberg. On Lashley? Or on Roman? I guess tomorrow would be Raw. So you're saying that he'll cash in on Raw and take the championship from Lashley. That is possible. Maybe instead of them doing another match, Goldberg shows up on TV Monday night and spears Lashley. And then Big E wins the championship from Bobby Lashley. I'll take that over having another match with Goldberg. Your prediction would be fine with me if it gets us out of having to see another Bobby Lashley-Brock Lesnar match. Kyle Wagner, Paul Heyman on a forklift match. Buzzsaw, thank you for the $10. Ojali Burgos with 10. What happened to Bianca is BS. Between WWE's continued incompetence and AEW's toxic culture, I'm starting to believe wrestling isn't for me anymore. Everyone I invest in gets treated like garbage. What toxic culture are you talking about? I don't know what that's in reference to. Is that in reference to their fans, or is that in reference to something the company did that I'm not aware of? The fans, there is a toxic culture among wrestling fans in general. Believe me, it is not isolated just to the AEW fanboys. You've got WWE fanboys. You've got There's a tribalism right now that is so poisonous. It is disgusting, frankly. But it's on both sides. It's on WWE and it's on AEW side as well. I see it on both sides. Bulu Fatulu, who I believe became a new channel member tonight. So welcome, Bulu. Do you think CM Punk coming to... Or do you think CM Punk coming to see can make the company competitive to WWE like WCW did in the Monday Night Wars? No, I think it'll make them more competitive. The Monday Night Wars are not going to be recreated. They're not going to be that close to WWE, but do I think they can be competitive? Do I think they can grow their fan base and their television ratings? I do. I absolutely, and I think we're already seeing signs of it. Grant Johnson. I think your chat would poop on a piece of gold, clean it, frame it, and show it as a piece of gold chat on that pay-per-view was great. Well, okay. That's certainly your opinion. Some people are very easy to please. If you thought overall that was a great show, then wow. Let me know, because I will give you a whole listing of actual great pay-per-views to watch. You have been deprived for your entire life. If that is the case, I will be more than happy, as everybody in the chat will, I'm sure, to give you recommendations. So you let me know, Grant, and I'll be able to help you out. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to help you out. Jacob Donnelly dropping $50 here on the stream. Here's a big 5-0 for all your hard work this week. Is it wrong that the only thing I took from this show is that WWE absolutely views AEW as competition? Because I thought this show was largely disappointing. It's not a bad reference. It's not a bad sort of connection to make between the two. Everybody was talking about CM Punk all week long. Everybody was talking about CM Punk today. Everybody was talking about CM Punk online, if you look at the internet searches and everything. And now, they're hoping that everybody will be talking about Brock Lesnar, and everybody will be talking about Becky Lynch. I don't think that was done by accident. James Adams, the storm is called Brock Lesnar. Yeah, the storm outside died down. It's quiet now, but I'm a little worried about later today. They're talking about some really scary stuff. Some scary winds. It's the wind damage. That's really what you got to worry about. Unless, if you own a home and you're near the shore or something, you're fucked. You got to worry about flooding and all that. I'm less worried about that. I'm more worried about the wind damage. Last big storm we had a few months ago, all the shingles on the roof got blown off, and there was, you know, some roof damage. It's scary stuff. But we're not going to get hit nearly as badly as some of the other places are, so hopefully everybody stays safe. Declan Malloy really did not agree with the Becky-Bianca angle. Fans spent months getting behind Bianca, all for nothing. They'll never pick her over Becky. I don't know. If the fans are hypocritical, then you're right. But if the fans stay true to how they treated Charlotte Flair 3 years ago, then they should. They should choose Bianca over Becky. Right? Only makes sense. Mr. All Day, AJ All Day. I was excited for SummerSlam, but I am sorry the Bianca thing took a huge breath out of the pay-per-view. I don't care about a long-term story. Keep up the good work. I thought it was the stud muffin himself. Joel Garner with the $11 super chat. The Bianca Belair squash is poor wrestling psychology. All I can do is shake my head. What is going on in this company? Failed star in the chat, thank you. Cloverfield is one of my favorite films. I'm very excited to see what comes of this sequel. They are supposedly in the process of writing right now. Finally, a direct sequel to the original movie. I'll believe it when I see it. Quintus Brown, dropping $5 here on the stream. I guess Vince gave Brock a blank check last night after Punk's return. You think the turnaround was that quick? Hey, it's possible. Charters a plane to take Brock from his home to Las Vegas. Benton, WG. Some matches were good, but WWE and its booking. Jacob Dearmore thought tonight's show was good, but did not like the useless segments, such as the Olympians and the Dripstick. Yeah, they had some of the Olympic gold medal winners out there just to make an appearance and say hello on the show. Ali Nadim, I still would have preferred Lesnar and Lashley. Rodimus Prime with the $45 super chat. Rodimus, hope you're still awake watching the stream here. I don't know, Rodimus, how many we still have here? It is 2 o'clock in the morning and we still have 2,300 people with us, which is pretty cool. By the way, get those likes up. We could hit 1,000 here before we get out of here. We're over 800. I want to hit 1,000 likes if we can before we get out of here tonight. So if you haven't already done so, hit that thumbs up. Help out the channel every time you do. Rodimus says, got tested today for COVID. Thankfully, came out negative. That said, decent show. Happy to see Becky back. But that match between her and Bianca had me dumbfounded. JR Vichar, Tony Storm against Bianca. Got to make new stars. That's what I just said. If their back was against the wall, and that was the best idea that they could come up with, at least give people a match. You could do that match and still have Becky come out at the end and tease that, guess what, I'm back, and you got to tune in on SmackDown this Friday to find out why I'm back. Could have done that. At least people get a match out of it, though. Andrew Jorlog, the Becky Lynch booking was straight out of WCW in 2000. Zach Jones, which was worse, Hulk Hogan making his own title match at WrestleMania 9 and winning the championship from Yokozuna, or what Becky Lynch did to Bianca and Carmella tonight? what Hogan did to Bret Hart was far worse. I told you, Hulk Hogan was never a babyface. He was a heel, masquerading as a babyface. Always was, from day one. Always was. I didn't realize it until I was older, of course. I was a little Hulkamaniac back then. I drank the Kool-Aid. But now I see things for how they really are. All the back rakes and the eye gouging and, you know, I was a fucking heel. Suda. This show was bland. Nothing special. Everything by the books. Big E should have cashed in. Cena should have turned heel to win his 17th. Brock is back. Can't say that I care. He's played out in WWE. I disagree. I think he's been gone long enough. He's been gone now for even longer than Becky has been gone for. So about a year and a half. We're almost a year and a half. And I like the whole dynamic now with Heyman. You don't know where his allegiance is going to lie, so I disagree on that. Even though I would have liked to see Lashley and Lesnar, I like this story as well. Adonis Winston. Maybe Becky Lynch wasn't ring ready just yet, and they didn't want to take a chance on her taking bumps. Then guess what? Don't put her in a fucking match. Problem solved. You can have her show up and make an appearance and get a big pop. But if she's not ready for a match, then don't do the match. This is common sense. Thank you, Adonis, though. Mikey Mortis, AEW on Friday. CM Punk blows the roof off the United Center. Saturday, WWE. Somebody named Dewdrop is helping a pink-haired cheerleader fight a doll. CJBYM21. Dave Meltzer said they knew Sasha wouldn't be at SummerSlam for 8 days. That was the message I read earlier. And if that's true, again, I defy anybody to tell me I'm wrong when it comes to WWE and their false advertising of things. I mean, over the years, they've done this tons of times. Tons and tons and tons and tons. And they get away with it, so they continue to do it. In this case, if they knew for that long that this match was not going to happen, there's... I mean, people will try to make excuses because, you know, they like to lick the boot. They like the taste. You put a little bit of ketchup on there, maybe a little A1 steak sauce. Let me know how that boot tastes. I would really like to know. So you're not going to convince some people, but I'm telling you, there's no excuse for it. People should not settle for it. People should call them out on this stuff. When they do this type of stuff, and that goes for any wrestling promotion, if AEW started doing it, and they haven't done that, but if AEW were to do the same thing, I'd tell people, call out Tony Khan. Don't let them get away with that. Don't let them treat you like shit. Especially you've got a major match on a show that you're promoting. If 8 days in advance you know this person is not going to appear, and you continue to promote the match on television, that is blatant false advertising. That's what it is. That's the very definition of what it is. Christian Trahan, ladder match for custody of Paul Heyman. Mr. E, 1976, thanks for all you do, just showing support for the show. Thank you, Mr. E. Thank you for the $10. Coggies, I did not watch. Just here to hang out with the Solomonster and show support for the stream. Thanks for all the great content. Thank you for joining. You chose me over SummerSlam. Look at that. I feel special. You made the right choice. VTM, VTM. Do you think Brock and Roman will do a ladder match at Extreme Rules like Brock and Punk? Brock and... They didn't do a ladder match. Brock and Punk never did a ladder match. They did a no-holds-barred match at SummerSlam. And no, I don't think so. I mean, I think the first match can just be a regular match because you're probably going to get more than one out of it. But I guess, so the next pay-per-view is Extreme Rules though, right? Is that what you're saying? So that's why I hate these gimmick pay-per-views so much because now you have to conform to whatever the theme is. So then I guess it has to be some kind of an Extreme Rules type of match, I guess. I fucking hate those shows. Jacob Dearmore. Also, while it was awesome to see Lesnar back, it sucks how he came back but could not have faced Lashley. But at least Edge and Rollins exceeded expectations. Yes, again, credit to Edge and Rollins for putting together what turned out to be an excellent match. just to show you that I did not hate on everything on this show. Despite what some people, you know, they have selective hearing, despite what they will hear, there were some bright spots on this show tonight. Edge and Rollins was the best match on the show. Theo. Yes, RK-Bro, new champions, cannot wait for their match against the Usos at Survivor Series in Brooklyn. It should be a great match. Yeah, I guess as of right now, we're going to get Charlotte Flair against Becky Lynch at Survivor Series. Kayfabe for the win. I really hope they just do an angle where Goldberg destroys Lashley on Raw and sets up a Big E cash-in because we do not need a rematch. Artsy. AEW saved wrestling. Most importantly, it saved my life. Thank you, Bucks and Cody. Thank you, Kenny. Most importantly, thank you, Mr. Khan. How, well, you didn't explain how it saved your life. That sounds like it would be an interesting story to hear about. But Artsy, thank you for the super chat. Dry chicken without flavor. It is good to see Becky Lynch back, but unfortunately, I cannot say congratulations for her title win. Poor Bianca, not Becky's fault, just dumb booking. Powerful one. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin at Survivor Series 99 all over again. And that is a great example of what I'm talking about. They knew Austin was not going to be able to wrestle on that show, and they false advertised him for it. I'm telling you, this company has been getting away with this shit for far too long. They do it because they know they can get away with it, and no one's going to call them out on it. And that was the main event of that show. That was the biggest star in the company. And they did not want people to not buy the pay-per-view. It's less of an issue now because pay-per-view is dead, right? You have the network, Peacock. Back then, it was all about pay-per-view buys. They didn't want to dissuade people from buying the pay-per-view, so they conveniently did not tell them that Austin wasn't going to wrestle, even though they knew he couldn't wrestle. Timothy, glad to see Becky Lynch back. Just wish that they didn't treat Bianca like an afterthought and make her lose within 25 seconds. It was actually, I think I clocked it at 26, I think, is what it was. Something like that. It was very, very short. Kaze E, Brock Lesnar returning is not interesting. All right, there you go. $2 super chat. He's right to the point. Darius Smith, Paul Heyman looked as if his wife showed up to his girlfriend's birthday party. There you go. I love that analogy. That's a great fucking analogy. I love that. That is the super chat of the night so far. If I could frame it, I would. Darius Smith, thank you for the $5. Magician Sapphire, high point was the Edge against Seth match. Low point was the brutal murder of Bianca Belair's title reign. Timothy Tillis, Lesnar against Reigns may be a match that we already have seen, but since the dynamics have changed, makes this feud very interesting and something I am looking forward to. T-Mac, 0-3-4. Edge and Seth and Cena Reigns saved this card. 2.5 out of 5 is what he gives. KM Truth, it seems like WWE keeps giving wrestling fans more reasons to watch AEW instead. Keep up the good work. Devin from New Jersey, Goldberg and Sundberg against Lashley and MVP. At Sweet Saudi 6. Good Lord. Lou Rivera. WWE knew Sasha was going to be out 8 days. 8 days. You've got 8 days. Boy, that joke has been running to the ground by now. That Tony Khan joke. That's a Food Hive joke, by the way. You got to leave that for Food Hive. JR. What do you do with Nikki, Rhea, Tony Storm, Finn, Styles, Piper, Big E? You expect me to book out all their plans here at 2:30 in the morning? Are you out of your mind? Although when he dropped that super chat, in fairness, it was 12:30. Now it's 2:30. It says, Lashley can't be happy with Roman getting Brock. I'm sure he's bummed, but he'll get over it. Rizzo. With the exception of Brock, Roman and Lashley, WWE has really lost, and I keep giving AEW a shot, but it's not for me either. I only watch SmackDown now. Do not watch Raw or NXT. Let's see here. Mr. Pinkston dropping $4.99. Hey, bro, was at the show live. Enjoyed the show overall. Was cheering for Becky's return, but felt like booing her 5 minutes later. And see, that's exactly what I'm talking about. They're playing with fire here with what they did on this show. They are playing a very dangerous game. I would not assume that Becky Lynch is going to be getting rousing ovations wherever she goes. Oh, Jolly Burgos, thank you for being so open to my opinions and people like me. Truth is, your shows are the only thing keeping me connected. Hope tomorrow is better. I'm always here, my friend. NK, wish my dad was still alive. It was his birthday today, August 21st. He loved pro wrestling and MMA. I stopped watching wrestling, but I always support the podcast. Thank you. Thank you. And happy birthday to your father. Suda, seeing his role in Suicide Squad, reinforced my belief that he should have turned heel tonight to win that 17th title. He's comfortable in that role. I don't see the point if he's not sticking around. Why do you put the championship on him if he's going to just leave and go film movies and be gone for months on end? It just, you can't do it. If he was here full time, I'm all for it. I'm all on board for a John Cena heel turn. I almost feel like you'd have to move him then, because you can't have him and Reigns as heels, and I don't want to see Reigns go back to being a babyface. But maybe if you put Cena on Raw, maybe that could work, but it's a moot point, because Cena's not around, so it doesn't matter. Brian Blair with the $20, another so-so pay-per-view. We'll tune in tomorrow for TakeOver, which I know will be a better show, and see you again tomorrow afterwards. Been moving into a new house, and I am tapping out for the night. Well, have a good night. Well, he's probably sleeping by now, but if you're up, have a good night. Professor John Gotti, this is the $150 Super Chat bomb. You get the confetti treatment for tonight. It's the best I could do here at 2:30 in the morning. The good professor dropping $150 here, the biggest Super Chat of the night. False advertisement, 20-second match, and ponytail Brock. WWE gonna WWE. If Goldberg didn't get hurt, he would have won tonight, much to my dismay. To the hardest-working wrestling podcaster in the business four nights in a row, with one more night to go, hit that like button. Professor John Gotti, thank you very much. Not only do we have one more stream, I have a whole podcast to do in a few hours. Oh, my God. Episode 718. I am just about burned out, I gotta tell you. You guys keep me going here, but I am just about at the end of my rope. Dry chicken without flavor, CM Punk's debut on AEW. WWE, hold my beer. We get Becky and Brock's return. That was their answer to it. So, two big names they have back now. One on, I guess both on SmackDown. Raw gets fucked. But SmackDown gets two big names back. 5 second reviews. WWE does not like black champions with the Bianca loss and Bobby not quickly beating Goldberg like Drew did last year. Well, that was this year, actually, that Drew beat Goldberg. I actually think that Bobby Lashley has had a very nice reign for himself. They gave Lashley a clean win at WrestleMania over Drew McIntyre. I would say that he's had a better title reign certainly than Bianca did as the champion. And his reign is not over yet. The Mount Vernon Kid, the Alpha, with the $21 Super Chat drop. Do you feel the finish with Edge and Rollins should have been Edge performing a curb stomp on Seth? You know, a little poetic justice. Yeah. You know what? I actually do think that would have been a smart move on their part. Instead of just doing the choke out, I think storyline-wise, going back to the angle in 2014 even, yeah, that would have made sense. Food Hive, here he is. That Bianca match is why I stopped watching in 2018. Hey, Eddie A., thank you for becoming a new subscriber. Ron Parson, let the story unfold. Damn. Of course, he puts that super chat up there and doesn't talk about what he's referring to. So how am I supposed to respond to that? That could be for anything. I have no idea what you're talking about. You make no sense because you didn't put context to the Super Chat. But thank you for the $1.99. Food Hive, just stopped by to show my chat some love. Stephen McDade, Becky turned heel. Fake handshake equals low blow. DiLorenzo, people think because the match with Honky Tonk Man and Warrior had a similar finish, it makes the match with Becky and Bianca okay. But the thing people don't get is that Honky Tonk didn't main event Mania that year. Marcus Brown, the word buried got to be the most overused word in the wrestling history. Let Bianca Becky play out. Why can't wrestling fans be patient? I'm not going to say a word. Because that has nothing to do with the point that I made earlier. So I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Thank you, Marcus. Rizzo, I have not watched a Blood Money show yet, and that will not change. That pisses me off more than anything else that WWE does. The L-Web 100. Sweet Saudi 6 doesn't work for me, brother. Psycho Jet Black, who's more over, Veer and Shanky or T-Bar and Mace? That's a trick question, because you know the answer is neither. Matthew Rice, Sweet Saudi Money 6, just for kicks. Quintus Brown, they really could have had a triple threat and had Becky pin Carmella. Bruce is terrible. EJ Slemp, CM Punk returns and the first thing he does is put Britt Baker over. Becky Lynch returns and the first thing she does is squash Bianca. Tale of two companies. Why? Again, I don't blame Becky for that. Let's make that distinction. It's not Becky's fault. Food Hive, Sweet Saudi Money 6, Island of Dicks. TBE, can I ask what the big appeal about CM Punk is? I'm not trying to hate, I'm just generally curious. Well, you'll find out. You'll have to tune into AEW and see. He got over on his promo work. He also had a lot of really good matches during his last run in WWE. So he got over, though. What really got him over was the promo work. And he's only done one promo so far in AEW, and he'll be doing many more, and perhaps he'll win you over, and maybe he won't. But there were a lot of people who became CM Punk fans during that whole Summer of Punk thing in WWE many years ago, 10 years ago. And they have stuck with him ever since. Grant Johnson, Sweet Saudi Money 6, Pack Challenge, all 3-versus-3 matches with Sean Waltman as the guest referee. Failed Star, have a good night, man. EJ, Brock's return saved the show for me. Thanks for keeping me entertained while I am at work at 4 a.m. or till 4 a.m. Making sure my fellow college kids are safe. Paolo, Sweet Saudi Money 6, welcome to the Abyss. You know, Abyss works for the company. Maybe they can put him back on TV. I enjoyed his cameos when he was with AJ Styles. He was his statistics guy. Chris Park, they should bring him back. They had an entertaining character in him and they took him off television. Typical. Typical, typical, typical. DeMonte, at the show tonight, the Bianca and Becky decision killed the energy in the building. Nikki Ash came out to crickets. Seth and Edge and the main event were the matches of the night. Greer Samuel, Sweet Saudi 6, Vince loves, well, there you go. You can see the rest of it. There it is. It kind of speaks for itself. Zagetsu 102, if anything, it shows WWE hasn't done enough to make people care about Rhea Ripley. Boy, I don't know. I didn't have that problem watching NXT. Funny, isn't that how different it is from NXT to the main roster? I cared very much about watching Rhea Ripley when she was in NXT. So, what does that say about their ability to get you to care about people on the main roster? Hulkling, 93. With the $20, I made say the same parallels between Bianca Becky to Becky Charlotte in 2018. So my sentiments exactly. My biggest issue is Bianca looking foolish twice in a short span. First time being Sasha's return. Dumb babyface syndrome. And that is a great point. She did. She looked very dumb. Buying into the fact that Sasha was her friend and wanted to, you know, be her partner and all that. So, but we see dumb babyface syndrome a lot. It has infected a lot of the babyfaces in this company. I'm telling you, DBS is a very real thing. I've been saying it for years. Mackenzie Lambert, I think Fangin' and Bangin' were lyrics to Too Cool's theme. Now that's hang. I thought that was Hanging and Banging, right? Wasn't that the beginning of? Hold on, I gotta turn the music off so I could think. Too Cool's music. It started with banging it, right? So it was like banging it, banging it, banging it, banging it. That's what it was. Ryan Spies getting wiped. Into the Sea sounds more enjoyable than watching SummerSlam. Oh, boy. Food Hive, Sweet Saudi Money 6, Please No Tricks. See? CM Punk, Big Solid Monster Sounds Off fan. Look at that. Chris Manson, I was at SummerSlam tonight. What a great show. Only negative was Sasha not appearing and Bianca losing the way that she did. Disgusting. Dan Richards, Sweet Saudi 6, COVID operation. Boy, we got to do better with these names. Mr. Yule, I'm the biggest fan of Goldberg on the planet. I still act crazy when he comes out, but man, he did not look right tonight. He looked old, but that is still my guy. Well, that's a loyal fan right there. But I still say we do not need to see him in the ring. Spartan Sprinkles would not recommend Fangin. Congrats on the sex, though. Hulkling, on the subject of excuses, I had a fan tell me the reason for Eva Marie's performance was it being her first time back in front of a big crowd. Yeah, I'm sure that's it. I'm sure that explains it. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury. Thanks for the recap. Missed the show because I am in the hospital with a brown recluse spider bite on my birthday. Wow. That sucks. I hope they got you the anti-venom, right? Isn't that what they give you? They give you the anti-venom? Boy, let me know how that turns out. That sounds very painful. Walter Palacio, Sweet Saudi Money 6, running out of tricks. SummerSlam sucked. Home stretch for you, man. Thanks for all that you do. We are in the home stretch here. We're also at about 930 likes, so we're approaching 1,000. We're getting close. We're getting close. So if you guys haven't already done so, hit that thumbs up. We are less than 80 away. From hitting 1,000 before we go off here. We still have 2,000 people in the chat. So get on that. Saki Tumble, calling it now. Oldberg against Lashley at Extreme Rules. And then Sunberg against Lashley at Sweet Saudi Money. Donnie Don, Bobby Lashley and MVP against Goldberg and Gageberg at Sweet Saudi Money 6. I've had enough of this. You know what? I think we have a winner. I think we may have a winner. I've had enough of this. That is actually... screen cap that. I think that might be the winner so far. Red Emissary. I don't know if Steve is with us. Steve Mello in the chat. Steve is the one responsible for all this wonderful artwork that we collaborate on. If Steve is watching or if he does watch or listen to this later on, keep that in mind. We always put logos together for these shows. I think that is the winning suggestion so far. Red Emissary of Darkness, his suggestion is Greedy for Kicks. Cesar William, I'll be moving from Guam to New York next week. Any advice, as is my first time in the city? I'll also be in Arthur Ashe for AEW. Yeah, just stay out of Central Park at night. You should be okay. I mean, I could tell you, you know, places to go eat and stuff like that, but, you know, get settled in first. You know, it's quite a change to go from really anywhere, I think, to New York. But, yes, stay out of Central Park at night. Paul Heyman. Does AJ Styles right now feel the coldest he's ever felt in his entire career? He is in this useless tag team, and he's always eating pins. Yeah, I think it's just a way to give him something to do on TV when they don't really have any bigger ideas for him. I mean, he was a champion. They had the Raw tag team belts on him for a few months. It's not like they weren't doing anything with him. But he does feel very, very cold. This is the coldest he has been since he came to WWE. I do agree on that. People still cheer, even though they're heels. He comes out. Most weeks, he gets cheered like a babyface. So it's inevitable that he's going to have to go babyface again very soon. I think it's just a matter of when they do the split with him and Omos. Dr. NXT Scorpio, good news is that we get to watch some good wrestling potentially for the very last time on Sunday, and then it's all rebuild mode from there, most likely. Carlton Bruton Jr., or Carlton Bruton Jr., I guess is what that would be, pissed how Bianca was done. Match with Becky could have been more competitive, eager to see Brock against Roman with roles reversed. Who does Paul choose? Well, clearly he's going to choose Ryback. Or Curtis Axel. Boy, he had a lot of luck with those guys, didn't he? Grant Johnson, WrestleMania 10 is my favorite as a 10-year-old underappreciated little brother. My family teased me for loving Owen. Give me three more I might not have watched. Danny Sanchez, poor Bianca. She did not deserve that at all. I do feel bad. I'm sure she was looking forward to going out there and having a great match in front of a big crowd. And whatever happened with Sasha just kind of upended all of those plans. I'm sure that that was not her ideal SummerSlam moment. Dada and Boy Podcast. I started my podcast recently centered around fatherhood with some wrestling mixed in. Interview with James Ellsworth drops on Monday. He is a dad. As a podcaster, you were one of the ones who inspired me. Well, I like hearing that. I always try to give advice where I can, and I hope everything works out with the podcast. I wish you the best of luck. The best advice I really could give anybody is just practice makes perfect. You've heard that before, but honestly, like, just have fun with it. That's it. Put the work in, and you will get out of it what you put into it. You will get out of it what you put into it in terms of the feedback, in terms of whatever it is that you're looking for out of it. Just stick with it and put the work into it. People can see, you know, if you wing it or if you just kind of half-ass it, people see right through that. Joseph Brooks, buy, rent, or sell on a dream match that we saw that you would have liked to see in an actual program, The Rock against Eddie Guerrero, Brock against Samoa Joe, or Batista against Kurt Angle. Oh, boy. Rock and Eddie would have been great. But I'm going to go with Brock and Joe. Definitely should have done more than just the one match that they did. 6 minutes. That's it. Boom. Done. And supposedly Lesnar expressed that he liked working with Joe. Like, he was a big fan of Joe. Remember that one promo segment? It might have been the night after that pay-per-view where Joe lost. They had both Samoa Joes. They had Samoa Joe and they had the other Samoan named Joe, who was just sort of in the background, and Joe was cutting a promo. He was spitting fire on Brock Lesnar, and Brock, he almost cracked a smile because you could tell, like, he was into it. Joe was giving it right back to him. He had some great line where he said, you know, you better look at me when I'm talking to you, and the crowd reacted. You don't think you could have had gotten a singles rematch out of that and put the championship on Joe for, you know, even a short run? What are you going to do? They ended up doing that Fatal 4-Way at SummerSlam, which I believe was an excellent match, but Joe never did get back to that level after that. I'm surprised I still have a voice, to be honest with you, after this week. I hope I still have a voice for later today. I'm doing two more shows. Mikey Clayman, earlier to compare Punk return to Halls on WCW. I don't know what you mean. I don't compare Punk's return to Hall's debut in WCW, if that's what you're referring to. I just don't think that's fair. I don't like making all of these comparisons because it's just, I don't know, to me it's two totally different things. Richard Slater, do you think we will finally get Brock against Bobby, or is it going to be Roman Reigns? Obviously it's going to be Roman Reigns. Seems pretty obvious to me. Do you think WWE brought Brock back to counter AEW? Probably. I think that's a safe bet that that had a little something to do with it. Austin Runge, Sweet Saudi Money 6, Solomonster gets the chicks. Funny. Marugan Songs just subscribed to the channel, so cheers to him or her. I guess I shouldn't assume anything. Thank you for subbing. We got here. Dallas. I was there live, and it was an show. I like Becky, but that was awful, what they did to Bianca Belair. Love seeing Edge, RK-Bro, and Brock Lesnar. Jamin John. I hope we will see old-school 2002 to 2003 Brock Lesnar, the wrestler. But after he hit Cena with Suplex City, I highly doubt that. Yeah, you're not going to get that Brock back. I think that Brock is dead. Brock is older now. He knows exactly what he needs to do and what he doesn't have to do. I don't think we're going to be seeing that version of Brock. I don't think so. I'd love to see it, but I don't see it happening. Mel, thank you for the $9.99. Mel21, thank you. Also dropping another super chat. Did not watch today. Just here to support. Love your podcast and channel. Started watching you because of my ex. At least he had good taste. You're great. Well, hey, it doesn't matter how you end up here, as long as you end up here, right? I'm glad you enjoy the content. There's been a lot of it this week. Content overload. King Soul, what are your thoughts on the Taliban situation? Yeah, we're not touching that. Thank you, King Soul, for the $2. Bulu Fatulu with the $5. Who is the best rivalry in WWE history in the 90s and the 2000 era? Austin versus McMahon probably made them more money than any other single rivalry. EJ Slemp, I do want to clarify. I don't blame Becky either. I don't blame any talent for any bad creative. I blame Vince, Johnny Ace, and Bruce Pritchard. Jamin John. Did The Rock ever come close to matching Steve Austin in terms of popularity during 2000 to 2001 when Austin was out? Yeah, he came pretty damn close, I would say. I struggle with putting anybody on the same exact level as Austin from back then. But in Austin's absence, The Rock did get over at a huge level. You could argue that they were pretty neck and neck there, you know, by 01. But to me, Austin is still number one. Even above, especially if you're looking at that period, even above The Rock. I mean, Austin was just on another level. I mean, we're never going to see that again. I really don't think we're ever going to see that again. Not in this company. I don't think they would allow it to happen. I don't think they want another star at that level. I think they want stars. And they want to create new ones, but it's about the brand. It's not about the star. We can't allow them to get as big because then, of course, they get big, they go away, and they leave, and they do other things. And I don't think they want that. I think they want it all about the brand. It's not about the individual names anymore like it used to be. And I think they like it that way. I think they do that on purpose. John Cena may have been the last one, honestly. He might be the last of a dying breed. Griga, I realize that tomorrow is not Raw. Yes, I was confused too because I'm just so used to the pay-per-views being on Sunday. Kagi, Sweet Saudi 6, I don't give any fricks. Happy birthday, Flame Thrower Fluff Salisbury. Get well soon. I am up at work all night, so with you until the end. Sleep in tomorrow. You know, I wish I could, but we got takeover. So I think I'm going to have to be up in a few hours. Dr. NXT Scorpio, Sweet Saudi Money 6, eat, sleep, sell out, repeat. Devin, Sweet Saudi 6, playing politics. Sirloin, Sweet Saudi 6, then more wrestlers will get nixed. Rob Humphrey says, Sweet Saudi Money 6, I hope the plane is fixed. Okay, there we go. I like that. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Lionel, been a fan of wrestling since 98. Becky Lynch saved my love for wrestling in 2018. Still fully behind her. Popped hard for her tonight and every night. Ryan Spy, Sweet Saudi 6, this company is the shits. Steve Heredius, Sweet Saudi 6, return of the elderly. Jamin John, how much heat did Brock get for manhandling Zach Gowen? F5ing someone with one leg into the heat, into the ring post, must have gotten one hell of a reaction. It got some great heel heat. Brock Lesnar during that period was quite nasty. Dr. NXT Scorpio, Sweet Saudi 6, Wrath of Khan 3, and Bret Hart. There he is. Nothing in WWE makes me happy. Thank you for your hard work. Your show does make me happy. Well, thank you. I'm glad I can at least bring you some joy. And Chris Bello, when are we going to be able to call into the show again? Well, at some point we'll start doing calls again. But there's been so much to talk about and then so many messages to go through. We just haven't had the time. But we will at some point bring them back. And now, I believe we are all caught up. It is almost 3 o'clock in the morning. This is by far the latest that I have ever streamed. So thank you to WWE for that. I'm sure I'm going to love this in the morning when I wake up. But we are just shy of 1,000 likes. We're at about 990-ish from what I see. So we only need about 10 more. So if you are headed out, hit that thumbs up if you have not already done so. It does help the video and the recommendeds that you see on the side. That's why I encourage people to do it. All of our new channel members tonight, thank you for your support as well. Probably going to take it a little easy this week, but we've got a whole bunch of content coming your way in the weeks to come. And I think that's about it. So I am going to get the hell out of here. I want to thank all of you for joining me tonight and keeping me company here live. To still have 2,000 people at 3 o'clock in the morning is pretty fucking cool. So hopefully we can do it again, because I'm going to be back with you later tonight after NXT TakeOver 36. We got Walter against Ilya Dragunov. We've got the return of Samoa Joe, one-on-one against Karrion Kross for the NXT Championship. Those are the two matches I am most looking forward to, if I can stay awake. And then I will be back for the live recap on YouTube as soon as that show goes off the air. Darnell gets the last word here with the $5 super chat. You're awesome. You think Heyman will go back to Brock or stay with Roman? I don't know, and that's the way I prefer it. I don't know which direction they're going to go in. I tend to think he's going to stay with Roman. I don't think they want to break up that whole group the way they have it set up right now. But I like the fact that I can't say for sure which way they're going to go. I mean, Brock just showed up tonight. It's very early. It's too soon to know, you know, exactly what they're going to do with this. But anyway, be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a fantastic night. This is the final, for tonight anyway, final Twitter poll recap for the night. Hey, Nashville Lou, just subscribe. Welcome. We got 2,800 votes on Twitter. There it is. Thumbs down is dominating the thumbs up. And in the YouTube chat, we have 4,100 votes. 55% thumbs up, 45% thumbs down. And that is where that poll is going to end. Naif Alsafar, it is 10 a.m. You stayed up for us, I stayed up for you. Holy shit. He stayed up all night. Because Nayef is overseas, I believe. That's amazing. Thank you, Nayef. And Tom Phelan, I was okay with the Becky win, not a fan of Bianca. Thank you for the super chat. We hit 1,000 likes. Thank you, guys. Brutter. There's the Brutter super chat. Thank you. Thank you for getting us to 1K. And hopefully everybody on the archives will get that number even higher. All right, now I'm gone for real. I will see you guys later tonight for NXT TakeOver.